Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance where we're able. We'll routine to call the scene to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are for mid-table. So many times we give and rhyme that our quiet aren't sing able. We're rock and mad in Camelot. We sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice.
And how do you get that, eh?
By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
Well, that's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh. Come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway! Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about! Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Hee hee! Hee! King Shaziz the Terrible! All rise for King Shaziz the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table!
Constant sorrow all through his days. I am a man of constant sorrow. I've seen trouble all my days. I bid farewell to old Kentucky, the place where I was born and raised, the place where he treasure here on earth I found. For in this world I'm bound to ramble, I have no friends to help me now. He has no friends to help him now. Perhaps I'll die upon this train.
Perhaps he'll die upon this train.
You can bury me in some deep valley for many years where I may lay.
Sleeping in my grave. Well,
nothing happening here. But what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop. Children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speaking their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. A field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street singing songs and carrying signs. Mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Into your life it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop now, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop.
Hello everybody, you're listening to the Knights of the Round Table at www.shazizradio.com, and if you want to join in on the chat, you can jump over there to www.shazizradio.com/superchat.html. So, I gotta get my breath there. That's a whole lot to say. Anyway, basically I wanted to start off the day at the round table until somebody shows up out there asking, posing the question there. What is reality, you know? If you go out there and you really pay attention to what's going on, see, I spent a whole lot of time watching all kinds of different subjects and things that are happening around the globe or the flat earth, whichever one you think it is. And I pay attention to people. I watch and listen and just kind of sit back and observe and see how things play out and what people are saying and doing and their actions and reactions and so on and so forth. Surprisingly enough, the system out there that we call the internet has something very interesting going on. It's almost like artificial intelligence that pretty much caters to the individual out there. And so I spend a lot of time searching up random things on the internet just to see what happens. And if you go up there on YouTube, which is part of Google, and you click on your own personal homepage there for your YouTube experience, if that's what you want to call it, you'll get a whole list of recommended videos for you to see. And it's pretty much everything that you go out there and you search up. It comes back and it's pretty much shows you things that it believes that you're interested in and so on and so forth. But then weeding through fact and fiction, that's the trick. There's so many different views and videos and things to look at out there. It's just mind-boggling. The subjects range from everything that you can possibly imagine to then some. A lot of craziness. A lot of there's a lot of hate and discontent and war and just total madness. So I have to ask myself, the average Joe out there looking in and then basing their lives and their decisions and their opinions on the information that they've got flowing to them via the social media networks and Facebook and YouTube and all the different other ways to communicate via the internet. If you're interested in alternative energy, you can stick strictly to alternative energy. But the moment you click on something that's out of the realm of alternative energy, then you start getting a flood of other interesting things out there. And so, like I said, I spent a lot of time searching the internet for all kinds of different things that have to do with alternative energy and just sometimes just random subjects just to see what goes on. And crazy enough, if you click on something on the internet and you check that subject out, and you should try this sometime to see if it's just me or if it's everybody or what's actually occurring here. But if you click on a subject out there and you look into that. Hello! Right in the middle of my rant going on.
Good morning, doggone it.
Alright, now back to what I was saying there before the bell rang. If you click on any subject out there on Google and you look at just about anything out there, and then get off the internet, check your computer down, go in there, turn on the TV set, and just catalog up how many things that you see that you just looked up on the internet. It's really interesting. And ironically enough, I never heard any doggone advertisements about Mitsubishi until I purchased one. So, one would have to question, would that be one massive coincidence that I just looked up something on the internet or I just purchased something and now I'm being advertised to about that specific subject and so on and so forth? But if you look out there and you see all the different things that are going on in the world, and, you know, sometimes it seems like a real true and serious drama. Now, I'm kind of like into verification. I want to verify the facts. I want to see for myself if something's really occurring. So, the only way for me to know whether something's real or not is if I see it with my own two eyes. I don't have necessarily faith in media of any type, whether it be alternative media or mainstream media. I just basically got to see or at least cross-reference or double-check with other sources to try to see if this information is even valid. And here recently is probably, I would give it at least a month or so back, got into this whole flat earth versus the ball earth society just to listen to see what was being said. And both sides of the story seem to have plausible science behind them. They both of them seem to have, you know, something that sounded, you know, maybe it could be possible. Maybe the earth is flat, or maybe it is round. Maybe we did go to space and maybe we didn't go to space. Stepping back and looking at the big picture, you gotta have to ask yourself where all these controversies are coming from. Where is this information coming from? Who is putting out this information and why? What's the agenda behind it? Why would somebody want me to believe that the earth was flat? Or why would they want me to believe the earth was round? Why would they want me to believe that we did or didn't go to space, that there is or isn't a God? so on and so forth. You form your beliefs by all the information that comes to you. And then whenever you finally get where you think you're satisfied with the knowledge that's in your head, and you're satisfied with your belief system, and it works for you and everything, and then you come across another individual out there whose belief systems are slightly skewed in a different direction from where your beliefs are. And then suddenly the controversy and the debate begins. Oh, no, you're wrong. There isn't no God. Or, yeah, we went to the moon. NASA does this, and that. They got all this, and there's this evidence. And like, you can look it up on Wikipedia, or you can Google it. Really? So that's the problem. That's what got me into the situation to begin with, was Googling it. I saw a nifty little picture up there, and I said, whoa, that's interesting. Somebody said the Earth is flat. I got to check this out. And so I checked that out, and of course, it sounded pretty plausible what they were talking about. So then, you know, to verify, I got to jump on the other side and get their version of the story. Once again, sounded kind of plausible there. There were some things I disagreed with on both sides of the story. However, it just neither side never kind of set right, because it was all about controversy. You know, the filthy language, cussing each other out and telling each other how stupid they were. You know, it kind of sounded familiar. Kind of sounded like the racial portion of the deal. It kind of sounded like the religious portion of the deal. It kind of sounded like somebody behind the scenes, some little Jerry Springer type entity or artificial intelligent kind of poking each side. So you got this little Jerry Springer character in the background, and he's poking each side of all the different subjects out there, and people are always continuously pitted against each other. When being an observer, standing way back and looking at from the outside in and seeing that, hey, you know, you guys, why don't you, instead of doing all this fighting, why don't you just kind of get together, drop the egos for a second and all the preconceived notions, and do a couple basic tests that could prove or disprove your side of the story. But it never makes it to that point. It never, on any of these different issues out there, whether it be a racial or religious or a scientific or non-scientific, anything out there, it never actually makes it to the point where both sides say we got to get to the truth, you know, no matter which side of us is wrong. So it's continuous controversy. And everything that you look at out there on the internet, you're being fed even more information in that direction. If I scroll in and I look through all the recommended videos of every other subject that I've looked at, it's everything from the flat earth to conspiracy to, you know, judges and law and crime and corruption and cops fighting each other and cops fighting people and people beating each other up and all that kind of stuff. Is the reality that we live in really the reality that is set out to be my perception after watching all this different stuff out here? Is this the design for the Matrix for me personally? What I see out here, this is what the world is. In reality, when I look outside my window, I don't see nobody out there beating each other up, and I don't see bombs dropping. Now, granted, I'm not necessarily in a war zone, but at some point, could that war zone actually land in my backyard? Could there actually be a terrorist behind my bush, or behind my house, or in my closet? The boogeyman's coming to get me. So you've got doomsday scenarios of epic proportions in all different directions, everything from asteroids to giant, large, unseeable planets by the naked eye, but they're there, or you got floods and earthquakes and plagues and famines and pestilence and wars and rumors of wars and all these things just simultaneously supposedly occurring on this Earth, where everybody is continuous threat of harm. Now, if I were the guys up at the top, the elite, the rich, the filthy, stinking rich guys that had the money to basically manipulate all the medias of the world in every direction, and even the alternative media, the media where you're supposed to be free and everybody's seeking the truth. I could play that chessboard to keep this guy at this guy's throat, and keep these people over here not talking to these people, and these people over here feuded. The whole divide and conquer that you continuously hear about in the social medias out there. You got individuals continuously saying, can't we all just get along? Peace and love and all that kind of stuff. And you got people out there who profess to look for the truth, but don't necessarily always want to get all the way to the point of the truth. Which means if you believe in the flat earth or you believe in the ball earth, then you all sit down, you figure out what is going to take, what would be the ultimate proof, the irrefutable proof, the evidence that we could put on the table that both sides would be satisfied and this debate would be over final. Nobody would ever have to talk about it again, and if somebody stumbled across the video, you could point them to the next one. Look, this was solved. We figured it out. There's simple, easy ways to find that out, but neither side's willing to meet in the middle. Just like as if you look out there into this world, it's made apparent to you that people from other nations and other belief systems don't necessarily want to meet in the middle. You got supposedly great uniters that turn out to be great dividers, and the battle just rages on. The question I have for everyone out there, is this battle raging on in the individual mind? Is the creation of all this that you see out there and all the evidence that you think to be fact or fiction or whatever compiled specifically for you, the individual, by an artificial intelligence or a community of secret societies out there that want to convince you and to keep you down for some apparent reason? And then you would actually have to ask the biggest question of all. If I, the individual, aren't nothing more than a slave, if I'm not worthy, if I don't have something that these folks either fear or want, why even bother? What makes me so important that anyone would want to try to convince me to change my views on any subject? What, as an individual, can I do to change any of the wars out there? What as I as an individual can do to stop any controversy, the flat earth versus the ball earth, the bend to space or not bend to space, the there is a God or there isn't a God? What can I as the individual do with something as simple as a microphone or a YouTube or a Facebook or a Twitter? What can I do, what can I say that would stop the flood of information, whether it be negative fact or fiction, flooding down through the matrix, all the ones and zeros that are just pouring in like a great flood? What could I, the one individual, do? What difference could I make that would be important enough that somebody would have to try to convince me in a different direction so that I can fulfill their agenda? Now, if that isn't a deep thought, then there is no deep thought. Either the world is real and in total chaos, or it's all a total sham, and nothing is real. The time is only relevant to the perception of the observer, and what you look at on a daily basis is designed just for you and your entertainment. Some people actually believe that we chose to come here to this planet, to this earth, to this reality. We chose to come here. And this is like a big giant video game. This is a entertainment kind of deal. Whereas some people who are in this world, they're not so entertained. They're not so happy. They're not so well taken care of. This system is hell on earth for them. So, where do you stand in this whole matrix? Where is your beliefs? Where's your reality? Is any of this out there real? Is any of it fact or fiction? And if it is as bad as Google and YouTube and Facebook and all the different social medias out there, you listen to average Joes and families on Facebook. They will put their entire life out there on the display for the entire world. They will curse each other. Daughters calling their mom filthy names, and their controversies slung out there on the table for all to see. There will be people talking about suicide. There will be people talking about killing somebody. You're a racist, you're trash, and so on and so forth. And the matrix gets deeper as the rabbit hole gets deeper. It's a never-ending flood of overwhelming information. If the world is as the internet portrays, we are literally living in the biblical hell on earth, according to everything that I believe in. And it's only going to get worse. You know, there's a phrase out there that people say, you need to wake up. You need to wake up. Somebody's shaking you. Wake up, man. Wake up. Wake up to the truth. Wake up to reality. It's really hard to wake up from a dream that you don't even know that you're dreaming. It's really hard to weed through all of what you've been taught in your entire life, to step outside the box and understand something just isn't right. What you were taught, what you were indoctrinated to believe in, or what your friends wanted you to believe in, or your family wanted you to believe in. Their own little bubbles, their own little worlds, their own little episode of what I just explained. And it collides with yours, and they disagree, and they have the terminology for explaining their point of view that doesn't match with yours, and you have the terminology to explain to them on your side, where you got to try to convince each other somewhere or another to meet in the middle that you'll never agree. To me, personally, this is beyond the biggest psyop in the history of time, the psychological operation of epic proportions, pitting every living individual on this planet against one another. And for us to be able to weed through this mess, in my view, it would require divine intervention of some massive kind. It was militia sitting over there getting ready to go to the next second civil war here in the United States, according to that one there. There's somebody stealing the car over there. There's somebody fighting over there. There's corrupt cops, corrupt judges. Explanation of the money system. It's all there for you, right there at your fingertips. All the information, all the news. And if this that we call the internet, the matrix, if this isn't enough to drive somebody to insanity or drinking or drugs or even worse, then nothing is. I would even venture to say that some of the people out there are battle-hardened conspiracy theorists from way on back that are just so chronically paranoid, sitting at their computer with dark rings under their eyes and stress beyond all imagination because they're trying to do something. I gotta save the world. I gotta save the planet. The planet's dying. The world's dying. We gotta stop these wars. We gotta stop all this madness. Because how could any good-hearted soul look into the abyss such as the internet and Google and Facebook and YouTube and watch and not be affected, not want to stop the craziness that is within that box? That's a question for you. So we've been joined by Muddy and Justin here. I just put something on the table that is beyond insanity. Does any one of you got any insight to that?
I stand on that I'm completely 100% okay with 7.5 billion people dying.
Yeah, from my view, that's a terrible thing to say, man.
I understand it's a terrible thing to say, but there's a lot of deepness to that. I am no different than you. When somebody gets hurt and falls, I run to the scene to coddle, to help. But at the same time, if we look at the disgustingness of humanity, shouldn't anything wrong with it?
Well, see, I can understand that the path that you took was a lot different than the path that I took, and I can understand that at a certain point, it's kind of like when your house gets so doggone filthy, and it's just so beyond repair, and you just want to start over. You just want to wipe the slate clean and just start over fresh. I can understand your point of view. While I don't agree that I wouldn't want nobody hurt or the 7 billion people to die, I can understand how this world and the information flow that actually put it that you based your thoughts and your decisions and your life on would bring you to that point, literally. I mean, while I wouldn't want nobody to jump off the bridge, I can find an understanding why they would get so desperate that they would want to jump off that bridge. Where they would believe themselves to be so worthless that they don't think it's worth going on any farther. You understand what I'm trying to say here?
I understand what you're saying completely.
I think you saw my house.
But do we have men and women in jail for murder and rape at the moment in time? Yes. So if we went into a civil war or any sort of thing, the grocery stores wouldn't have power in 3 days. Let's say you're stocked up for 3 years worth of food, but me and Muddy and my buddy Jerry come along over your house and you don't want to open your doors or anything. We're going to find a way in there. And let's say that one person has sick thoughts about your wife or children. With no law, no public servants in place, that man will act on those thoughts.
You brought up a point here. If anybody has ever wanted to kind of get a glimpse of what the future of humanity would be like if a certain incident such as Justin just described, go out and watch the video series Jericho. In the video series Jericho, they literally exploded bombs and nuclear bombs, atomic bombs, in like 26 different major cities or something in the United States, which sparked off a massive war, a civil war. And the way that people responded to these tragedies were pretty much what he just explained, where they... Your normal neighbor, which is the nicest guy you've ever met, during the peacetime, he's just been there for you all the time. But when he gets desperate and he sees that his children are starving, how far will that niceness last? How long would it actually take before he would do something terrible just to feed his family? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. I think... You know what? You sit in your homes, you watch TV, you see wars going on, you pray for our troops, but you see a war between two other nations. You know what? You go on about your day. It doesn't affect you. It doesn't concern you as much. It kind of goes in one ear and out the other. And maybe if somebody brings a subject up, you'll be reminded of it. So it's not really in the forefront of your mind. So like I said, it doesn't affect you. But when you come to find out that it's going to happen in your land, well, I tell you what, it's reality then, and it makes a whole lot more difference. I watched a movie called Terminus on Rainier de Mayo, or Rainier Land, if you have to look it up. Terminus. And these asteroids kept coming down, not asteroids, but meteors, as they thought, came down, and they had the genetic code to all life. One guy was driving down the road, and he saw the meteor coming down, and it caused him to swerve off the road because it came so close. Well, he got banged up pretty bad. He was upside down in the car. He got out. In a daze, he kind of stumbled towards the light, and he got over there. Next thing you know, his daughter's looking for him and calling the police. They say 24 hours. So she goes out looking, and she sees where he went off the road. And she's looking around. She don't see him. Then she turns her lights on and is ready to leave, and he's standing in front of the car. Well, anyway, she takes him to the hospital. Years ago, he donated his kidney to his wife so that she could live, but she rejected it and died. But they didn't believe it was the same guy because he had two kidneys. And this thing basically healed everybody. Another guy that had a leg missing from Nam helped him load it in a truck, and because he touched it, he started having bad pains in his leg, and it was growing just a little bit and a little bit, and they finally brought him out to the meteor that they had, and within minutes the leg grew, and by the next morning he was walking on it. And the government was looking for it. The government was looking for it, and about three others that had dropped around the world. And it was all about rebirth. Anyway, towards the end of the movie, they finally caught up with him, and they're trying to get it. He's got it in the middle of a cement truck deal there as a cocoon. And his daughter got shot. He threw her in there, and then she came out. And the government wanted it as a war tool. And I mean, this is what we see all around. Everything that has ever been invented for good, also, if it's powerful enough, just like the internet, can be used for bad as well, or as a weapon. And he wanted it as an equalizer so they could finish winning the war in Iraq. And finally, towards the end, everybody gets mad and blows the nuclear thermonuclear warheads off. And they're basically all around the world just countering each other. Bam, 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 bam. And they crawl inside. Actually, the guy with the leg that grew, and the guy's daughter who was shot, they both went in there. And next thing you know, it starts filling up with water. They freeze. And I guess sometime later, come to find out, everything is completely destroyed and they're the only two left. Yeah, it doesn't affect people if it doesn't happen to them. My point is, all because they wanted to win a war, they wound up destroying the whole world. This 500 million people that are supposed to make it through our next phase, as they're calling it, and they want them to be the next generation of man with the nano stuff in them. And it's crazy. It's stupid. It's all because people are heartless. They don't care what they got to do. The government guy was shooting everybody. Yeah, so yeah, why would you want to hand something so valuable over to him? It was meant for life. It was meant to regenerate life for the next phase, because they knew it was all going to be blown up. Whether it happens by a big, massive asteroid or a coronal mass ejection, it doesn't matter.
Well, you know,
why kill your own people? Yeah, we're from the government. You don't think I'd lie, right? Well, by their track record, well, yeah.
You know, the destruction isn't always physical either. You know, a lot of it is mental destruction. A lot of these folks that end up having to go to war zones, they come back and they're not the same person it was when they left. You know, me personally, I'm like a sponge. And when I see things going on out there in the world, you know, my scales of justice are tipped and I feel like, you know, somebody's been wronged. There's got to be some way in my mind to balance this out, you know. To make everything justifiable again, you know, everything's right. You know, I got to have things around me right, you know. That you understand what I'm trying to say here?
Yep.
Well,
if I had the terminus, I wouldn't share it with the Illuminati. That's for sure. Yeah, there was another movie, like you said. Destruction isn't always physical to the body and the people, or the things on the earth. Sometimes you can destroy a person, make them want to die. Just like I sent you another movie there as well. A girl like that. It goes through. It's a true story and a documentary where the real popular perfection of the high school girls and everything basically got on her little trip and ride, and just because one wouldn't let her copy for a test, it wound up being a psychological battle and just tearing down, kind of like a troll opera on the web, where people bully and do your friends all a favor and die, and you know.
Well, that's another thing.
Derogatory names and all that stuff. Before they wind up taking a handful of Oxycontin and destroyed her life and almost died.
Before
it comes down to it when.
Muddy. Before you take too far off from that specific subject, that's another thing I wanted to point out there, that it really amazes me,
and
actually disgusts me whenever I see how, you know, what you just described about how people treat each other and really talk to each other in some of these social media. Some of these folks will say the most foul, the most filthiest thing about people.
You've been through it. You had a friend that turned. And, just trying to destroy you. Destroy each other. It's nothing but grief and pain, you know. And some people go all the way to the point of just going ahead and committing suicide. And that's what this one girl did. But she was wearing a little camera that a friend had with her, with him, and everything to document what was going on as a resolution. Anyway, he finally turned over the CDs with all the video, and when the police did the investigation, went on down and everything like that, a psychologist decided to show her how she was acting, and she saw herself in a new light. It changed her. It also changed the other girl. It changed a lot of people. Once they see how evil they are and the way they've been acting and the things they do, they have to change, because it's like, have you ever been mad at somebody who really didn't deserve it, and you were yelling and screaming and all that stuff? There was also another voice in the back of your head that was actually you. The voice that was doing all the damage is actually a demon. And once it's recognized, you can control it. Until you recognize it, it's hard to deal with, and you just go on. Because during that yelling and screaming, you feel this little bit of power that wells up inside you. Yeah, I can beat this one. I can beat. And that's not the subject. It's how you treat each other. Treating people bad can destroy each other's lives. Downing them, putting them down, and just basically, the social media special, man. I mean, everybody hates me.
Well,
you know?
I say this all the time, and it's actually in a couple sound bites that people, all the individual out there, you are more powerful than you can possibly imagine. Just the power of the spoken word alone. It's so incredible. You could either lift somebody up to the highest points of heaven, or you can drop them down to the lowest, darkest abyss, the lowest depths of hell, just by the words that come out of your mouth. That's a lot of power, buddy.
Yes, it is. We are created in God's image, not just eyes, nose, ears, mouth, hands, you know, 2 feet, legs, and a body that looks humanoid. It's not just that. It's mind, body, spirit. Father, Son, Holy Ghost, exactly in His image. And God created the universe by speaking words. He spoke things into existence. He gave you that power as well. With great power comes great responsibility, or yep, big electric bills.
And with your bare hands, you can literally do irreparable damage to somebody. You know, and so you can imagine the pain that somebody would go through because of what you've done with your bare hands. And then not only your bare hands being that powerful, but your words being that powerful as well. And then your actions afterwards being just as powerful. You know, that's bad enough. When you take a human being that has that much power, that much strength, and then you put into that human being a weapon of any kind, it doesn't matter whether it's a rock, a knife, a gun, a bat, whatever, it doesn't matter. You just increase that entire deal to a whole higher level where now they can literally take a life in a split second, you know? And when I watch movies out there where post-apocalyptic movies like the one was described earlier about, people running around shooting each other and raping each other and such, nobody has the right, in my mind, to take another's life. Nobody has the right to violate anybody in any form or fashion. And in a civil society, we've all who are civilized, to the extent that we are in agreement with that. Where when in peacetime and you're with your neighbor, you wouldn't even contemplate on going over and doing things like that to your neighbor. But when
your belly's telling you now, whole thing's changed out of desperation.
Yes.
Well, I don't really want to get onto the subject of religion or anything, because a lot of people don't really care too much about listening to it. But let's look at the other side of that religious deal there, where people think we are God. Well, if we are God, then we're all a part of God. And usually when you shed the negative, who's going to be thrown into the fire for the thickets?
Well, that's a good question, and the
it's
whole deal
the
is...
It's still the same.
The whole deal is, it doesn't matter which side of the fence you stand on. If you take this completely out of there, where, let's just say hypothetically, there was never any religion on this planet. Let's say hypothetically, there was never any government on this planet. Let's just say it was total anarchy from start to finish. All right, nobody ever got together with saying, look, we've seen all this killing and murdering and all this kind of stuff all this time. Let's get together and let's form this deal that we call a government to ensure that we have protection from one another. You know, in all the old movies, it's always the biggest guy on the block who ends up being in charge because nobody wants to mess with him because they're afraid. And then as long as this big guy is healthy and everything's going well for him, he will always remain in charge until somebody bigger comes along and takes him down and becomes
in charge. Or smarter and gets the people together to take care of the big poo-poo head.
Yeah. So, it's mind-boggling to me, this whole entire scenario. We're living in the year 2016, man. And there shouldn't be any wars and rumors of wars and plagues and famines and pestilence, because we've got all this vast technology and we got all this knowledge of the past. And, you know, Raymond says it all the time, if you ignore history, history will repeat itself over and over and over again. And we've seen a repetitive scenario of crime and corruption and all this kind of stuff. Now, granted, I couldn't tell you whether any of this was even real or not, whether or not it was fact or fiction, because all I have to base any of my decisions on, even my own personal spiritual beliefs and views and stuff like that, the only thing that I have to base any of this on is evidence that was presented to me throughout the duration of my lifetime. Now, why would anybody else out there who went through the same mess, the same chaotic indoctrination system, why would they even want to waste their time of their life to try to disagree with me and prove me wrong? What is so significant that they have to have me on their side of their view, their side of the fence? Is it lonely over there? I mean, are there doubts in their mind that what they've been taught is not necessarily, they're not sure, and they need somebody to comfort them on the other side? Or is it just a control thing? I don't want you to believe that way because I don't believe that way. I don't like that. Well,
right.
This is a controversy that has apparently been going on for thousands of years. You know, some folks over there in a certain religion believe that, you know, this is the only true God on this side of the fence over here. However, they have different factions who believe in the same God, but they don't believe that this group over here is worshiping the way they're supposed to be, or they misread the book the way it was supposed to be written. And so there are divide lines within that particular religious belief as well, such as even in the Christian religion, you have many denominations of, you know, pre-trib, pre-wrath, and all this kind of stuff, you know, a Pentecostal, you could name it. There's tons of different divides in just that system alone. In the government, you have a two-party system that's in power, but that's not the only parties out there. There's the Green Power out there, or Greenpeace, or whatever, doggone, I can't even remember. The Green Party and the Libertarian Party and the Constitutional Party, and there's probably even a Communist Party and all kinds of different parties out there that want to be part of that system. They all believe in some form of government, but yet they can't come to the table and set everything aside to pick out what is best for everybody, what is best. You see what I'm saying here?
Yeah. Justin popped up with a few links down there in the bottom, and it brought back another deal there. If it's not about religion, then why are they taking a religious people to basically taking them into all nations around the world? I don't understand that part. There's another deal, a letter that was written when they were going over to like Munich and stuff like that. Anyway. The report from one of the people in the hospital says many Muslims are refusing treatment by female staff, and we women are refusing to go among those animals, especially for the ones from Africa. Relations between the staff and the migrants are going from bad to worse. Since last weekend, migrants going into the hospital must be accompanied by police with canine units. Many immigrants have AIDS, syphilis, open tuberculosis, and many exotic diseases that we in Europe do not know how to treat them. If they receive a prescription in the pharmacy, they learn they have to pay cash. This leads to unbelievable outbursts, especially when it is about drugs for the children. They abandon the children with this pharmaceutical staff with the words, "So cure them, here yourselves." So the police are not just guarding the clinics and hospitals, but also large pharmaceuticals. Today, we said openly, where are all those who had welcomed in front of TV cameras and signs at train stations? Yes, for now, the borders have been closed, but a million of them are already here, and we will definitely not be able to get rid of them. Until now, the number of unemployed in Germany was 2.2 million. Now it will be at least 3.5 million. Most of these people are completely unemployable. A bare minimum of them have any education. What is more, their women usually do not work at all. I estimate that 1 in 10 is pregnant. Hundreds of thousands of them have brought along infants and little kids under 6, many emancipated and neglected. If this continues and Germany reopens its borders, I'm going home to Czech Republic. Nobody can keep me here in this situation, not even double the salary than at home. I went to Germany, not to Africa or the Middle East. Even the professor who heads our department told us how sad it makes him to see the cleaning woman who for 800 euros cleans every day for years and then meets a young man in the hallways who just waits with their hands outstretched and want everything for free, and when they don't get it, they throw a fit. And one guy, after the lady had cleaned the floor, just pissed on the floor. I really don't need this, but I'm afraid of it if I return that at some point it will be the same in the Czech Republic. If the Germans with their nature cannot handle this, their Czechia, it will be total chaos. Nobody who has come in contact with them has no idea what kind of animals they are, especially the ones from Africa, and how Muslims act superior to our staff regarding their religious accommodation. For now, the local hospital staff should not come down with the diseases they brought here. But with so many hundreds of patients every day, this is just a question of time. In a hospital near Rhine, migrants attacked the staff with knives after they had handed over an eight-month-old on the brink of death, which they dragged across half of Europe for 3 months. The child died in 2 days despite of receiving top care at one of the best pediatric clinics in Germany. The physician had to undergo surgery, and two nurses laid up in the ICU. Nobody has been punished. It's against the law. The local press is forbidden to write about it, so we know about it through email. What would have happened to a German if he stabbed the doctor and the nurses with a knife? Or if he had flung his own syphilis-infected urine at a nurse's face so threatened her with infection? At a minimum, he'd go straight to jail or later to court. With these people so far, nothing has happened. Anyway, we're just getting down to the main deal. It really pisses me off that our government aren't teaching folks to hate Christianity and never say anything about any of the other religions, but insist on the Muslim religious sect as the most peaceful one, a religion that teaches killing the imbeciles, which are anybody but their religion, and hand all freedom and forgiveness and diplomatic immunity to the dumbest, uneducated, hate-driven, primordial-minded morons that believe everyone else is their inferior. Imbecile dogs, they call us all. And that's the end of
infidels.
The quote. And that's the deal. Why are they all migrating to all nations around the world? And they basically put us as the hated ones. I don't understand that.
Well, yeah, you're right. And look at it deeper, right? In Canada right now, probably in the States too, they're going across our country.
I'm not against Muslims. I just don't believe I ought to be taken over by them. And our government's trying to drag 1.5 million in.
Well, here's the point.
This is what I was trying to get at. In Saskatchewan, a few months ago, me and Barry Prince were talking about this. You see, now, even in Toronto, us that have been here, right, we feel that immigrants are, I'm not saying anybody in particular, but this is what, in general, they're saying, that we aren't liking them coming here. So now that we are harassing their women and their children as well. So, man to man, if you're going to harass my culture, I'm going to stick up for it. And same, likewise, you're going to do the same. If men come from my side of the country, and yeah, some of them are not thinking right, they're not morally right, as you would say, they're going to think about doing things to your children and your wives too. So what's happening? War between cultures, right? And the whole Christian thing, definitely. Who is good old Saint Santa Claus, right? Prince Albert. Prince Albert is Santa Claus. That's the Christian thing right there.
Well, take the word Santa, rearrange the words. Satan.
Satan. Yeah, it's Prince Albert. Prince Albert's the one that brought home the Christmas tree. and Princess or Queen Elizabeth now just come out and said it's our last Christmas, and she told the whole story about who Santa Claus is. There's Barry.
Now we just brought Barry in.
Well, the point of all this right here is, you know, folks talk about conspiracies. They talk about secret societies and secret governments and secret black ops and psyops and all this kind of stuff there. And they talk about that a one world government is in the process of being formed. And so, in order to be able to get total control over just the United States alone, you have to have certain things come into play, such as you have to be able to disarm the population, because it's obvious that the population isn't going to allow foreign invaders to come into this land and turn around and just lay down their arms and say, oh yeah, it's okay, you can rape my family and stuff like that. No, they're going to use lethal force to defend their home and their country. And so with that said, when the borders are wide open and just anybody can come through the borders, you know, you don't know who's coming to cross that border. All right, and it may be somebody who really seriously wants to immigrate, really seriously wants to go and get away from the terrible stuff that's going on in their country, only to come here to find that it could be just as terrible or even worse than it was where they came from. Somebody at the top of this pyramid that we call the governmental structure or secret societies or international bankers or whatever would want this to happen. They would want you to be pitted against each other. They want the atheist against the Christian, the Buddhist against the Muslim, and so on and so forth. All of this stuff. I keep saying this all the time. The divide and conquer that is put out there on the table towards everybody has continuously pitted one another against each other for so long that it comes to the point where guys like Justin say the things that he said earlier about how there's 7 billion people on the planet and it wouldn't bother him none if they all died. Now, in my heart, that breaks my heart to hear Justin say that, because I'm pretty positive that Justin's a good kid, you know? And I don't think that he would really, you know, want to stand by and watch all these people die. But the way that his views have been skewed by all the information that has been flooded towards him and all the stories of all the terrible things that the foreign refugees have done to people who had put their hand out to help them are now turning around and doing terrible things to the same people that tried to help them. You know, it's understandable how people would get to the point where they would want to literally resort to violence. If a world war was to break out and invaders were in all different directions and you didn't know who was who and what was what, you would defend your family and at any cost. If a civil war happened here in the United States, I'm who's sitting here preaching peace and love would have to go into full combat mode and be able to be willing to use lethal force to stop any invader from harming my family. And see, there's got to be some sort of brake pedal out there, something that we can do to stop this machine from going over the cliff into the great abyss. That once we have left that cliff, then there's no return. You know, people say that we have gone too far, that this is so far, we're so far into this that there is no way that we can fix it. But I subscribe to the old phrase, and it may sound kind of rude, but it's never even over till the fat lady sings, man. And so far, the fat lady ain't sung. We don't see foreign troops on our soil just yet. We don't see all the wars and the bombs and all this kind of stuff. We got to get a grip on this. We the people got to get a grip on it. The government is not going to get a grip on their track record. Stinks. They have showed throughout history of time that they are willing to go to war. They are willing to bomb other nations. They are willing to threaten use of force. And here in the United States, the police, the serve and protect, they are willing to use a level of lethal force in order to get you to comply. Now, everyone out there believes in freedom, and everyone wants peace, and everyone wants love, and everybody wants it. This is what I hear the individuals out there saying on a regular basis. I hear them talking about peace and love. I hear them talking about caring about their neighbors. And I see their actions by when they go over to help somebody who's in need or somebody who's broke down on the side of the road. I see this, and I see when disasters occur, people sending their money, they're sending their food, or they go there to assist. So the majority of all the population out there that I witness from my own life, I see that the average Joe isn't the evil that we are seeing that is literally ripping society in half. You understand what I'm trying to say here? There is an evil out there in this world. There is a pure evil, and regardless of whether you're a believer or a non-believer of a higher entity such as God Himself, if you can't understand that there is a definite difference between good and evil, and we are literally seeing the worst of humanity attacking the best of humanity on a regular basis, and those in between, the little Jerry Springers behind the scene, you know, that pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. He's the one pushing the buttons. He's the one paying the bills. He's the one paying the protesters and the agitators and the people that go out to destabilize nations. That is the guy that we, the people, should be focused on. We, the people, should find that little Jerry Springer individual and hold his feet to the fire, hold him accountable, and put him in the jail.
I say put Barack right in the middle of the doggone wars he's created.
Well, would that not stop the wars if the elite had to go first? It's like, you know, back in the old days, whenever you had wars out there, the generals and the sergeants and all them, they would be right there in the midst with the fighting guy. They would lead the charge into war. And then at a certain point, they started staying way back at the end of the row and letting all the pawns run in first. And because you got to save the big thinkers, the brass, you know, you got to keep them safe so that they can tell everybody, you know, go over there and flank that guy and go over there and get that one over there, you know. And basically guide the war to, you know, benefit them all. You see what I'm saying?
Yep.
But until, you know, everybody keeps talking about being awake. You know, they talk about waking up, and waking up to this. And some versions of waking up means, if you're a Christian, you got to stop believing the way that you believe, because that doesn't blend in. That's not the truth, because if you go watch Zeitgeist, the movie, it's already debunked everything that you talk about. So, you know, that's that. But that wasn't my view, all right? And if you are a Muslim out there, and you're a Christian over there, and you guys see each other, well, I don't agree with you, so I got to chop off your head. Well, I don't believe in that whole chopping off the head thing over there. It doesn't matter. You understand what I'm saying? It's a continuous battle to pit every single race, religion, color, political, whatever, to pit human against human. Period.
Yeah. All right. Whereas recognition of the inherent dignity and of equal and inalienable rights of all members of the human family is the foundation of freedom, justice, and peace in the world, whereas disregard and contempt from human rights have resulted in barbarous acts which have outraged the consensus of mankind, and the advent of the world in which human beings shall enjoy freedom of speech and belief and freedom from fear and want has been proclaimed as the highest aspiration of common people, whereas it is essential that man is not to be compelled to have resource or recourse as a last resort to rebellion against tyranny and opposition. See, that's coming from the United Nations Declaration of Human Rights, 1948. They've already got us pegged. Remember Colorado, where they're doing, they're smoking marijuana, it's a social experiment, right? So they already know us socially. Look, we want speech, we want freedom and belief, and we don't want to fear And the biggest one of all, we want purses, heels, dirt bikes, want. So money really is just complete control. A man just bought all those immigrants, $750 billion. He paid for all of them to come over here. That's slavery.
I got to tell you guys something here.
Morning, Barry.
There's a comment in the chat room, I'm sure is a wise guy troll. But I'm going to say it anyway. He said, we the pizza of Canada. If he was a white redneck like you guys, Obama would be your man. See, now, there's a whole bunch of assumptions right in there that some loudmouth would put out there in order to divide and conquer people. But he's failing in this incident because, first off, I'm not a redneck, all right? I'm just a guy that lives in a town that has a slight accent, and I'm not even remotely racist. And just because Obama is perceived to be a black man and I'm perceived to be a white man, this individual that put this trash out here in the chat room has no idea about my cultural heritage of any kind. I mean, if it even matters, I'm French Canadian / Cherokee Indian. That's my heritage, all right? My grandmother was a full-blooded Cherokee Indian, all right? And my father and my grandfather were from France and Canada, all right? So knowing absolutely nothing about me, painting me with a label such as redneck, and pointing out that I'm probably a racist, if Obama was a white guy, he'd be my man. That's the kind of stuff that I'm talking about. When you have idiots, and I mean sheer idiots like that, that spew out such hate and propaganda and flat out lies about individuals they have no knowledge of. They don't know what I've done for my nation. They don't know what I've done for the white man, the black man, or anybody. They don't know what sacrifices that I've made to try to help people out. But yet, I could post that like a keyboard warrior. I can post that out there in a chat room, and it makes me feel good because I just called this guy a racist because he doesn't agree with something Obama said or did. You see where this is going, people?
This is. About a month and a half ago at school, me and my buddy, he's black, and we sat down together in the lunchroom.
Buddy, can you do that, Thomas? Homes,
telling racist jokes to each other. Like, I'm like, I've never heard of a white racist joke. And he's like,
well,
looking up.
I don't even like racist jokes.
Sat there and laughed together.
I don't even like racist jokes. I don't like racist jokes. I don't even entertain racist jokes because, you know, to me it's not a joke. On somebody's world it's offensive to them. You know, if you and your buddy can sit down and you guys can laugh at each other and you both are in mutual agreements that, you know, it don't bother you, that's fine. But me personally, if I hear somebody telling a racist joke, I will tell them I don't approve and I'll walk away. You know, I don't want to be no part of it. I don't want to play no part of it because the whole thing goes back to exactly what you saw in that chat room that I just read out of inside that chat room. That's how people want to perceive you. And I don't give them that power over me to perceive me the way that they think. I will hold their feet to the fire if they're going to call me a racist. They need to prove to me and the world that I am a racist. They need to show where I said or hurt or did created any harm for any individual out there. You understand what I'm saying? Are you still there?
Yeah, I completely understand what you're saying. Like, yeah, it shouldn't be talked about or anything like that. Like, there should never be any of that. But when you feel close, you know, to somebody, and you don't see each other for the skin, then you can laugh and giggle about things that normally would be, you know, you don't want to touch, right?
Well, it's a shame that we even have a conversation such as skin colors and such. All right, there are definite physical differences between different humans out there, but when it's all said and done, you know, don't care if you got 100 black friends, 100 Indian friends, 100 Muslim friends, 100 Christian friends. What really going to matter is how consistent you are about how equally you treat each and every one of them. You see what I mean? It's not the words that's going to make the difference. It's the actions of the individual that's going to make the difference when it comes down to making this world a better place. You got jokers that'll jump up in there and say things like what they say right there, all right? And he posted a video up there where I put a video out there, my redneck generator. All right, well, there's a little humor. There's a little humor in what I said, that I'm a redneck, because I've been called a redneck so many times because I got this accent. You see what I'm saying? I'm pegged with a label, just like each and every one of you is probably pegged with some sort of label out there that is nothing more than a divisive tool used by somebody out there, that Jerry Springer's behind the scenes, that keep everybody pitted against one another. None of this is ever going to change until people get past all that. Am I wrong? Anybody?
No. I don't know about being pegged with something that's done by them. I think it's more that we each have, you know, our own colorful background and our own aspects that make us different, and there are ways to describe us and whatnot. But these people use those attributes and xenophobia to basically pit each other, people against each other, instead of just accepting it like, you know, oh, that's interesting, you know. Instead of having the same old around, you've got friends of all different types. Instead, they basically, they turn it into, oh, you can't trust people like that. Like what? What are you talking about? You know, now you got two people against each other, you know.
Well, so, we talk about we want a better world, right? And how are we ever going to get a better world when you got two groups of, I mean, large groups, too. They're not just, when you talk about the whole flat earth versus the ball earth society, these ain't small groups. These are large groups, and they are battling back and forth. Well, you're stupid, blah, blah, bleepity bleep, you know, back and forth. When a guy standing from the back says, look, hey, why don't you guys get out there and do some scientific proof and finally come to the table, put your egos and all your preconceived notions on the floor, and get out there, take the most powerful telescopes you got, and do the research, do the math, and solve this issue, and move on. But they're not. And then the anti-religion versus religion portion of the society, same exact thing. You can't prove there's a God, and you can't prove there isn't a God, so move on. All right? If my belief in God is hurting you so badly that you're just so angry and so frustrated and so painfully disoriented because you can't stand it that I have a belief that you disagree with, then you don't even have to associate with me. You can walk away. But they don't. They don't. You go in there and you look out there on YouTube and you will watch atheists and Christians battling back and forth, throwing Bible verses towards each other, throwing hate and rhetoric back and forth, and it's just a continuous, never-ending battle. Go into the Republican versus Democrat the social medias and you will see the exact same thing. Go on to Facebook and watch as families, I mean families, mothers, brothers, sisters, cousins, aunts, uncles, get on there and they will call each other every single filthy name in the book. They will put their entire life's trash right there out there for the entire world to see. They don't care. They'll drop the F-bomb, the S-bomb, they'll say everything filthy under the sun. They will degrade each other, put filthy images up there, regardless of who's going to see it. And so, is this world, this society that we call, a civilization, is this world so far over the cliff in going into the great abyss that we have no opportunity whatsoever to backtrack and put our feet on the brakes and start cleaning this mess up? You know? it's in my mind, and I'll say it again, it's not over till the fat lady sings. In my book on that everybody despises so much, it says that no man shall know the time or day, that he'll come like a thief in the night. It's just like death. You don't know when you're going to die. It could happen any second. It could happen right now. It could happen 10 years down the line or 100 years down the line. You don't know. And everything that you've done throughout your entire life is what you'll carry on to your eternity as the type of soul or person that you are. You know, it don't matter whether you're a believer or not believer. You don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. And if you had any kind of decency about yourself or whatever, whatever you decided you wanted to leave for humanity when you're gone, whatever kind of person you wanted everybody to think that you were, then your actions should match that as well. You see what I mean? Aleister Crowley didn't have no problem telling everybody he was a devil worshiper. He told everybody he was the most evil man in existence. He was proud of that. That was his legacy. How many Aleister Crowleys do we got out there? Does anybody understand what the heck it is I'm babbling about? Anyone? Must have blown some minds because everybody got all quiet.
Well, I just got back from visiting Winnie. Anyway.
What about you, Barry? We ain't heard nothing from you for a minute. Are you there?
Make sure your mic works.
Yeah, my mic is working. I've just been listening to the conversation before the gentleman.
Well, come on in closer to the mic. We can't hear you.
Yeah, well, let me try and adjust these settings a little bit. Yeah, I'm having trouble. I think I got a new mic. Is that better? Is that it? That's as high as everything goes.
All right, well, I'll try to turn you up when you're talking. So go ahead, man. What's your thoughts on it?
On what subject? You've talked about 100 different things since I've been sitting
in. Hey, I laid a buffet.
I laid a buffet
on the table.
Yeah, you did. I myself right now in my life, I'll tell you guys, I'm having a hard time dealing with the emotions I'm feeling right now because we're seeing a world come completely unglued in front of our eyes, and it's happening at light speed. What's going on in the U.S. government right now and what's going on in the world is just absolutely baffling me. We're looking at, what's going on in the stock markets right now, man. And, you know, Max Keiser 2 months ago released a video. You guys should go watch it. And he pretty well called exactly what we're seeing right now and how it's going to unfold in front of us. And I think we're in for some really, really interesting times coming up here, guys. I really do. This is the first time in history we haven't seen commerce on the oceans, and that has never, ever happened before. Every stock market in the world right now is on a pinnacle. And, of course, this creates, what's the word I'm looking for?
Chaos?
Uneasiness. Uneasiness in the stock market, and investors are starting to get very, very itchy and very, very, very touchy about what's going on. And, of course, that just escalates what's going on. We got to really watch what's going on in the stocks here and the world markets in the next couple of weeks, guys. I mean, we know for years they've been setting us up for an economic collapse. And whether this is it or not, nobody can say for sure, but it sure seems to have all the indicators of putting us right on our butts. That's what I'm seeing. It's very, 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 very dangerous times right now in this world, guys.
I agree. We the people have got to use wisdom to beat them at their own game. I mean, if the total stock market collapsed and people would remain calm and still work together, then everything would be fine. You know, we could actually have the entire world economy just completely crash out, and we could still survive through the whole mess. But
it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough, shizzes, because you know, realistically, the whole world is based on currency. And, you know, individual sitting here right now that we have the knowledge and perhaps the tools to survive if the complete system collapses. But 90% of the population on this planet are going to be knocked on their butts in a way they've never experienced before in their life. I mean, we're talking about not having the ability to go buy food and not having the ability to turn on a light, not having the ability to sustain your family. And when that kind of tyranny sets into a society, boy, you're going to see society absolutely go crazy. And then we'll add into that equation, guys. Let's add another little factor to that equation. Now, we know right now in America, I think the number is approximately, give or take a few million, 64, I was reading a report on it 2 days ago, 64 million Americans right now are on some form of antidepressant or psychotropic drug. I've written 3 reports on it. And let's just put that into the equation of an economic collapse in our governments, an economic collapse in our society, where all of a sudden these 64 million Americans aren't able to get their psychotropic drugs and they're taken away from them. You're creating a situation in society where you have 64 million crazy people all of a sudden willing to do just about anything to get their drugs.
Yeah.
All kinds of things that could happen here in the very, very near future that will just turn our society upside down. And to think that it can't happen, you've got your head in the sand. We're seeing indications right now all over the planet of just unbelievable turmoil. In economies, in our weather, man, our weather patterns around this planet are just absolutely going ballistic. I've never seen anything like this in my life, and it seems to be getting worse.
Well, you know, Barry,
it just seems an accumulation of events that are bringing us to a pinnacle.
You know, Barry, there was a book that was mass produced and put out in many different versions that pretty much explained that this is how, so as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. All right? Hey, take it how you want, people. You know, for all you folks out there that believe or don't believe, somebody a couple thousand years ago wrote down some stuff that just so happened to be exactly what we're seeing. Not to mention this, 1965, Paul Harvey did a soundbite out there entitled, If I Were the Devil. And he explained in graphic detail that at some point, things would get so bad, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs at the schools and metal detectors and so on and so forth. And he explained it in 1965, exactly what your child has to go to. If you go to a school today, and you walk around and take a tour of that school, you know, after you buzz in and get past the metal detector and all that kind of stuff and sign in and all that, and then you go over to your local county jail and do the same exact thing, you're going to notice some striking resemblance. You know, there was actually a poll that was taken, a deal where they had showed people pictures of jailhouses and they showed pictures of schools and they asked people, okay, which one's the jailhouse? And you know, a whole lot of those individuals pointed at that school as the jailhouse where the original jailhouse, you know, was the actual jailhouse. Did you know that? Metal detectors at the front door of your child's school because everyone is living in fear that something's going to happen. All right? It's a continuous, never-ending cycle of potential terror that is either going to be homegrown or via the immigration debacle or the wars overseas or whatever. Somebody's out to get you. Now, with the stock market collapsing and the doggone wars and rumors of wars and the weather going on out there, I would say that, yeah, we're looking at everything and all, putting all the evidence on the table. Man, I'll tell you what. If that isn't what I saw in that doggone book, I'll eat that book. Period.
Well, you know, we're not here to thump our beliefs and religions on anybody, and I'm not here to thump beliefs on my religions on anybody, but I'll tell you, I live by that book right now. What it's telling me is coming in the future. And I'm at the absolute 1,000% belief in my life that what he wrote in the past came to true. What he wrote in the past came to pass. What he's writing about right now in this particular time in human history is coming, and it's an accumulation of prophecies wrote 3,000 years ago by individuals spread over the face of this earth, some of them thousands of miles apart, yet able to put together the same scenario exactly right to the T, undeniable right to the T scenario that we see unfolding on Earth today. To me, that is more than a coincidence, and I have to go by what he says is coming. and what he tells me is coming is chaos on this planet, and we see it unfold. We see the mark of the beast now becoming a real possibility. We see our societies going cashless. The big push for cashless society will come. We see Obama becoming the Secretary General of the United Nations. The Bible talks about an Antichrist. The Bible talks about a one-world ruler and how he will come to power, and the power that he will have. Well, President Barack Obama is now the most powerful president in U.S. history, and his power is gaining every day. He's passing executive orders at 12 midnight in snowstorms that are absolutely blowing my mind. The one he just passed through Congress is trying to pass right now, giving them War Measures Act. I mean, this man is right out of control, but this is what I expect to see. I expect to see a major accumulation of events in 2016 where the one world government will come to be, because if our society collapses, if our monetary systems collapse, guys, then you create a situation on this planet. I mean, we're aware of it, and a lot of people, like you said, Suzette, a lot of people sitting here are aware of it. We know what's coming, but a vast majority of the population isn't prepared to look after themselves for a week, let alone 3 or 4 months or a year. A vast majority of the population isn't prepared to defend themselves against some of the toys that the government has, and that's something that we really should talk about sometimes, guys, because sure, America's armed to the teeth. There's 300 and some odd millions of guns in the United States of America right now, but we also know that the government's got technology that is 50 years ahead of what we have or what we know right now. And I say to you guys, I say, when they unleash the poop on the I almost slipped there, she says, almost, I caught it.
Thanks.
When they unleash the poop on the human race, what toys are they going to unleash on us? She says, that we don't even know about. So, I mean, what we're seeing right now, guys, is an accumulation of think tanks that have gone on for years and years and years, and we are getting to a pinnacle. And I just see the majority of the human race being blindsided by this. The majority of the human race will turn to the governments, because in a time of turmoil, people will turn to the governments for answers. And if the government comes up with the answers, people will go along with it. And that's what I see happening.
Well, I'll tell you one
thing. My spiel for the day.
I tell you one thing. You know, if you lay it all out there on the table, you would say that we are in some serious, serious trouble, man. And we got to find a solution. We, the people, have to find a solution to remedy this and stop it before it gets out of hand, if it isn't already too far out of hand. That's the question. Is things so far out of hand there ain't no fixing it? You know, I don't believe so. I believe that the power of the spoken word, the power of your actions, just getting up off the couch and becoming proactive in your communities, and you know, you got to proceed through life with wisdom. Sure, I can go out there and I can tell all my neighbors, look, hey, you better check this out, because this is how things are really going on. Most of my neighbors, like you said, they're Barry is a. They'll just think I'm nuts. They got that whole label out there, the tinfoil hat wearing conspiracy nut. Oh, you're just paranoid. Our government wouldn't do that to us. Regardless of what the history shows, you know, you can always trust your government. You see what I mean?
Absolutely.
But we got to understand that people have to understand that they got to empower themselves. They got to understand that they're more powerful than they think they are. Just to getting out there and talking and bringing these subjects up in a respectful manner to one another, pointing out, look, something just don't right here, you know. I used this analogy one time. I was like, you know, all of us are standing outside this cave, and there's this wolf, and he's like saying, hey, y'all, why don't y'all come in? We'll have some dinner, you know. And, you know, we're sitting there in the background, and we're watching all these other sheep getting ready to go on up in the caves. And, hey, look, he invited us in for dinner. And we're like, hold on a second, guys. You know, guys, he did say he was going to have you up in there for dinner, but what he didn't say was what or who was on the menu. Shouldn't we clarify first? You see what I mean? You know, and I'm not one to want to run up there in the cave and get eaten up for dinner. And I don't want anybody else to do that either. You know, none of us is sitting at this round table right now believe in war. None of us want to see anybody hurt. No, none of us want us to go over there and bomb the crap out of people and all that. None of us want to see anybody starving to death. And so, you know, these are the kind of people I surround myself with, and I'm positive that you surround yourself with the like-minded individuals all over the world. I'm sure that in your family, you probably got a few jerks. I got a few jerks in my family. You know, there might even be some racists in every single one of our families. But the fact of the matter is, the majority of all the people that you come in contact with on a daily basis are good people. Now, are their opinions and views on life skewed? Yeah, because they've been fed the same information that everybody else has been fed. They don't know how to weed through that information to know who's truth or whatever. They don't have time for that. They're too busy. You see what I mean?
Well, the way I see it is, unless there is a major, major shift in our morality worldwide, then what is wrote in my book will come to pass.
Yeah, and I agree with you.
America is going to suffer judgment. We have, as a race and as a human, as a society, gotten so far away from our Christian principles, the principles that formed our society. We look at what's going on in this world right now, and what the Bible tells us about this end time, Jesus, is that we're going to see the devil manifest his power in ways on this planet that we have never seen before. And what do we see happening in our world right now? We see pedophilia being glorified. We see bestiality being glorified. We see a society where anything goes, that a complete breakdown in our morals is now accepted and glorified in our society. And when that happens, as you know and I know, anytime that happens to society, that society is going to collapse. It's inevitable. And that's where we're going right now. America will suffer judgment for what they have done. They have totally, how many millions of people have been murdered by abortion in America in the last 40 years since Wade and whatever it was, the judgment that brought this tyranny on human race of murdering our children? How many people have died? Well, you think he's happy about that? You don't think he's going to say one day, well, I've had enough, and it's time for you guys to pay the piper? Well, that time is coming, folks. And if we don't see a morality shift in our society, I'm not saying you have to be a Christian. I'm saying that the Ten Commandments is a great fundamental to live your life by, whether you're Christian, whether you have any kind of religious beliefs. If you read the Ten Commandments and you understand what they say about living in our world, and you were to follow those, even not being a Christian, you would see the changes. But because the society, then we're going down the tubes. I cannot believe what I see going on in our world. And it's just getting worse and worse. And yet, this is what it's talked about. This is what we're seeing unfold. And I believe it's going to come to pass unless we see a major shift in our morality worldwide, guys. The devil is running rampant right now on this planet. Anybody who doesn't see that has got their eyes closed.
Well, anybody else got any thoughts on the matter?
Somebody's got to have a thought.
Thomas?
Muddy, you got to have a thought.
Muddy?
Oh, I'm here. I'm listening. I ain't got any thoughts on it. I'm just following. I believe he's right. Pretty interesting stuff there, Barry.
Well, basically, we need some sort of solution. We need some sort of resolve. We need some sort of remedy for all the stuff that everybody's going up against. You know, I don't want to sound like a fear monger. I want to sound like that I actually care, you know, because I do. You know, I want to sound like we got an opportunity. There's some sort of hope, some sort of light at the end of the tunnel of all this stuff. But on the path that we're on, and for all the information that I've been fed via the mainstream media, the alternative media, all the social networks out there, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to understand that there is a serious problem going on. You see what I mean? I mean, where does it end? We've got to start moving forward towards fixing something. And you know, it's going to start from you, your family, raising your children to be respectful to one another. If you're not respectful from your wife to your husband, or vice versa, then how are your children going to be respectful to theirs? And to allow your governments just to run amok and do whatever it is that they feel like it's okay for them to do, this is just, in my mind, it's beyond dangerous. It's beyond stupid. Yeah, you have to find some sort of common ground. You have to find some sort of, you know, we got in here in the United States, we got the judicial branch of government, the legislative branch of government, and the executive branch of government. You know, one that enforces the laws, ones that interpret the laws, and ones that writes the laws. And it's run amok. The whole system's run amok. And the average Joe has no remedy. The average Joe probably doesn't even have any real rights anymore, because you don't even know what jurisdiction you're under when you go to court. Is it common law? Is it civil? Is it criminal? You see what I mean? Everything is pitted against everything. Everybody's pitted against everybody. The whole world, in from what the information has been presented to me, is chaotic. I mean, it's almost anarchy.
Wrestling not against flesh and blood.
Yeah. That's what it said, ain't it, Muddy?
That's what it said.
It said you don't wrestle against man. You wrestle against, what's the words? I can't remember.
Principalities, power, and dark powers in high places. It's just, yeah, it's not our control. The only control we have is prayer. You can protect yourself and hopefully protect others. But you're not going to stop it. It's going to be there.
Well,
I honestly believe what is going to come is going to come. But like I said, unless there's a major shift in our society, which I believe he would spare us from judgment. That's my feelings. But unless we see that, and I'm not seeing it, I'm seeing us going the opposite way in this world right now, then what's going to come is going to come. But I'm not fearing it, guys. I know it's coming. It doesn't matter. It's going to come.
I'm not afraid of it.
We're in the front seat. We get to watch it.
I'm not afraid of it either, but it's kind of like when you go to get a Band-Aid taken off. Is it easy, is it better to peel it off slowly, or is it better just to get it over with? You see what I mean?
Soak it and let it fall off.
Yeah, there you go.
Better idea.
It's just, in my view, it's just frustrating. Okay, if you don't believe the way that I believe, it's as easy as walking out the door. You don't have to stand there and talk to me. If you don't believe, everybody has to be right all the time. They have to be right all the time. And I can't stand talking to somebody who believes that they have to be right all the time. I'm open to being wrong. I'm open to making mistakes, because to err is human, right?
I like to learn, so I like to try to be wrong all the time.
Yeah, well, learning's a good thing. Knowledge is a good step towards, making your world a better place. Now, we've done this Knights of the Round Table for a long time. We've sat here and we've talked to people all over the globe, man. Steve read out all the different places that people have come here to visit and listened in. And, here we are. We're still here. After all these years, we're still here. Where other social medias kind of just went by the wayside and divided and went their own separate directions, the Knights of the Round Table still here. And we're here for a reason. Because we believe that we see things going on in this world that need to be addressed. And we believe that we have the capability and the potential if we can get the people to the table. That's the question. Can you get them to the table? You see what I mean? Ain't no treaty ever signed until somebody sits down at the table. The war rages on until somebody gets their act together and sits down and is willing to at least compromise on something, anything. The Flat Earth Society versus the Ball Earth Society. I'm sitting there back in the background, and I'm like, look, I don't care what shape the planet is, but, either side could resolve this so easily just by doing some simple hands-on measurements and mathematics and physics and such like that. And you guys could literally find out for real. Check this out. It's either real or it isn't real. But you got two communities out there pitting one another against one another that they continuously do these videos, and some of them's trolling each other, and some of them just really believe it, and some of them, you know, are doing it for money or whatever, but you wouldn't believe how many people are actually sitting around talking about whether the earth is flat or whether the earth is round or whether the earth is concave, whether the sky exists or the sky doesn't exist, whether we're under a dome or we ain't under a dome. And that is just a fraction of what's actually occurring out there and all the controversies that's going on. In the chat room, I just got trolled and somebody told me how much of a racist I was, how much of a hypocrite, posted a bunch of my videos. I deleted every doggone comment they had in there. And I'm just not going to deal with it, man. If you got positive, fruitful information and you want to put it out there and you want to talk to somebody and find some sort of resolution, then you got a microphone that you can come here and talk. You got a platform that you can come here and you can speak your point of view. You know, but until you get past the infantile name-calling, the infantile pointing the fingers, oh, you're a racist, whatever. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of the labeling. I'm sick of the shenanigans. I'm sick of the egos. I'm sick of the people that think they know everything. None of us know everything. Thomas Anderson is one smart individual. Barry is one smart individual. Justin is one smart individual. And Muddy is one smart individual. But and I think I'm pretty intelligent myself. But not one of us at all know everything there is to know. Otherwise, we'd be God. We'd be the president.
There'd be no reason for this radio show.
Yeah. Why would I even bother if I knew everything that there was to know? I don't. If I did, I'd sit there and say, look, folks, this is exactly how you fix it. Do it. Or if you don't do it, this is exactly what's going to happen. You don't got to be a rocket scientist to see that what is occurring in our world, whether it be environmental or socially, that our world is going down the toilet. And it don't matter what side of the globe you're on, whether it's going counterclockwise or clockwise, you're going down the toilet. And at the other end of that pipe isn't pleasant. And we got to fix it. Whether you're a believer or not believer, you still got to live in this world with folks that believe differently than you, that folks that look a different way than you do, folks that might it just drive you insane. You got to get over yourself. You're important, but you're not the most important. Period. Drop the ego. Drop the I'm holier than thou. Drop the whole I know it all and get on with getting something done, because sitting there trolling each other whether the earth is flat or whether the earth is round, you're making yourself look ignorant, and the elite are laughing at you. They know they got you right where they want you, because all they got to do is throw this guy in there to do the whole Jerry Springer gig. Hey, look, this guy called you that, and that guy's a racist, and this and that. And now you guys are back there. When you got to stand there and try to justify yourself to somebody else to prove you're not a racist, when you got to say, well, I got black friends. You shouldn't even have to say you got black friends. It don't matter what color your friends are. It just matters that they're your friends. You see what I'm saying?
Just don't, when they say that, just don't ever say, oh, I had this many black friends at this party I threw, because that instantly shows that you are a racist, because you actually counted them.
Yeah, I trump your 10 black friends with my 20 black friends and 3 Mexican friends. Alright, so that's it's ridiculous, man. I got a lot of friends. I don't care what race they are. I don't care what religion they are. I don't care what color they are. All I care about is that whenever they stand up here and we talk together, that they respect each other and they respect the person sitting next to them, and we can actually get some sort of logical debate going on about things. We don't always have to agree. We can agree to disagree in a respectful manner, and we can move right along, and we can put the solutions on the table for everyone to take and run with. I don't think what I'm asking is that big of a deal, man. Seriously. But You gotta pop those bubbles that all these people are living in. You know? If I say the word Jesus Christ, boy, I tell you what, bam, out the corner comes the trolls.
It's not a cuss word yet.
In some societies, I'd be lynched or beheaded. You know, what kind of world are we going to have in the future? Seriously, is it going to... Look, the very first rock ever committed, murder ever committed, according to the book that I read, was done with a rock. And then there was many others that were done with knives and swords. And now, guns. Alright? But we gotta ban the guns. We gotta ban the knives. We gotta ban the swords. We're gonna have to ban the rocks. And we're gonna have to ban the banjos and the ukuleles and the doggone pogo sticks and everything else in this planet that's crazy. Including you.
Fruit of consequences.
Yeah. Ban me. Is there any way that I can get a free ticket to another rock? Oh, man. All I'm saying is that, look, if when you out there and you're looking for your information, you got to weed through. You got to verify. You know, the man in that book was always talking about verifying everything. Verify it. Don't believe what I'm saying. Verify it. And when you know it's true, then you can speak it as truth. You see what I mean, man?
Yup. So what can you do about it?
Well, I'll tell you what you can do about it. From my point of view, what we can do about it. We can continue to do radio shows like this. And if you don't like this radio show or the host that's on this radio network, go start your own radio network. The internet is vast. You can get a domain name and a radio station, and you can just start your own deal and get your own following and treat people how you want to be treated and so on and so forth. But if you believe in what we're saying, you can do something as simple as going over to the doggone social medias that you see all that, throw a pebble in that river of information, and hopefully somebody will see it float by and click on it. Alright?
Right.
And so you can talk to your neighbors, and you can get out there and you see your neighbor struggling to push his lawnmower and you feeling a little healthy that day, you can get out there and push it for him. You can find out who's in need in your neighborhoods and in your communities, and you can go over there and take them some extra canned goods that you've had on your shelf that are still good.
And be careful. Just click it on whatever happens to come floating by you there out there on the internet.
Yeah, no kidding. I've been down that road once or twice.
Don't fill no personal information out. No passwords or nothing after you click a link. So...
Well, like I said, man, I got my troll guy, back up in there. It's funny. He said, seemed to be touching on a nerve. But, you know what? I'm just allowing it to go for the moment, see? I could easily enough reach over and click the ban button, and I could boot this turkey to the curb. I ain't got nothing to hide from nobody. You know? And I'm not trying to sell anybody anything. And I'm not trying to push my personal religious views on anybody. I'm just merely stating where my opinion's coming from. I'm sitting here trying to point out that I see all this stuff up there, and I'm asking the questions. Is what I'm seeing out here on YouTube, is this what the real world is like? Is everyone out there crazy? Do people shove their mouths full of cinnamon and cough all over their face, or do they do all these crazy stuff that you see out there? Are people out there beating each other toothless on a daily basis? Are people running around hitting each other because they don't like what they look like, or they don't like their religion, or are they really out there chopping each other's heads off? Is there bombs flying in every doggone direction? Is the planet dying? Are we all getting ready to starve to death? Is there a Planet X coming in from outer space to blast us, and Doomsday is going to kill us all off? Is there a doggone plague on the way? Well,
you get in trouble for all that stuff unless the government says, okay, it's wartime.
Yeah. Well, my book said there'd be wars and rumors of wars, plagues, famines, pestilence.
The oceans will roar.
Yep.
The oceans will give up their dead.
There you go, man.
All kinds of things happening right now. But what can we do about it? I don't know. I don't have that answer. I'm just preparing myself.
Well, that's the first thing you can do, Barry.
That's about all I can do.
The first thing you can do is prepare yourself mentally for any such emergency. Prepare yourself physically and prepare yourself spiritually. Whether you're a believer or not, are you going to be able to withstand the times that are ahead if they keep going down the path that they are? You know, are you going to be able to be strong for your family? You know, I want to bring this up because there was a portion in there that said that there no man would be able to buy, sell, or trade unless they had the mark of the beast, right? Now, I posed this question to my son one day. I said, son, if you were there during this time and this was really occurring and you were watching your family starve to death, would you step up there and say, look, you guys don't take this mark, but I'm going to go take it just so that I can go buy us some food? And I said, son, would you do that? And he thought about it for a second and he said, probably I would. And the scary thing about that was I turned around and told him, I said, son, if you do that, then it's only a matter of time before your family will do that as well. So it would be a sacrifice in complete and utter vain for you to sacrifice yourself for your family under those circumstances. Was I wrong in telling him that? Because
no, and I tell you what, according to the way it's supposed to go and it's documented, when that time comes, you'll also get that injection at those... You'll get injections. Plus, you'll also receive... It's kind of like a ritual, pretty much. It'll send the spirit. As soon as they do, man, they'll just turn you in. So there ain't no sense in doing that. I'd say, look at this. Go visit a site called eattheweeds.com. 90% of these weeds out here are more nutritious than what you're getting at the supermarket.
You just have to know what you're eating. Go read up on all the different stuff. Find everything you can about it.
Yeah, what part of it do you eat? What part you have to boil first, or can you eat it raw?
Which ones look like the other ones, and how to identify, split the two apart so you're not eating one that's poisonous and get the one that's good.
There's a lot of lookalikes. And you have to learn those, but the site has all that info. What time of season, what zone it grows in, and all that stuff. There's one plant called purslane, and it's a little purplish-blue flower, and it grows in the strangest spots, and it is one of the most nutritious weeds there are, one of the most nutritious vegetations there are. You'll find it growing at the bottom of the pole at the bus stop and cracks in the sidewalk, out of walls, places that you don't think anything would grow, but it's there. Gosh, one lady had a whole bunch of it in her garden, and she called Dean Green there to go over and what she could do about it, get rid of these weeds so she could have a garden. And basically he said, no, that's very nutritious. You want to keep that? She says, no, I want it all gone.
Well, I'm banning the troll.
I'm going to pull it all up and I'm going to burn it. And he said, wait a half hour. I'll be back with some people. And they pulled it all up and planted it on their land. And the lady was happy.
I'm banning the troll.
Yep. So here you got that form S510 says you cannot give food to your neighbor. You can't sell it to your neighbor. You can't give it, all that kind
stop
of stuff. It's all designed to starve us out.
Stop asking for permission. You don't have to.
Right. Well, if they all they do is they come to your property and all they see is weeds, they say, nope, no garden here, and you say, bye. Kind of like that song where...
I want the door to kill the way out, man.
Yeah, government dudes were driving off, and they were just sitting there smiling, sitting on that sack of seed,
So, yeah, come look for my garden. I've got lots of weeds out here. I've been learning the difference in them. Since then, I've been able to walk out into a field and get my butt full real quick. So, I like clover. There's a clover there that has a kind of tart taste to it. Oh, it's very good for you, but you can't eat too much of it. It kind of makes your tummy upset, but it is very, very nutritious for you. You can eat dandelions.
Dandelion root is super nutritious for you, buddy.
Yeah.
So is wheatgrass. So is lots of the stuff growing in your woods you can eat and sustain yourself on. Our native brothers did it for thousands of years prior to us coming to North America. So the information's out there, buddy, and I'm glad to see you finally start to take care of that or pay attention to that, because I don't think you were paying attention to that a year ago, and now you are, so that's good, buddy.
What I'd like to see is...
I wish I could grow chaga mushrooms. I got a few mushrooms around here that I don't know what are growing out of trees, and I've looked at them, and I've looked at the ones on the web, and basically they don't quite look the same. I'd have to take a picture and send it to you, Barry, and see what it is.
What I'd like to see is people getting in contact with different communities, such as the Native communities, which have knowledge about all kinds of things, from everything from edible, you know, like Muddy was saying, eating the weeds. You know, there's medicines that they've used before there were even doctors that, you know, have been passed down from generation to generation. You know, that knowledge is out there. People have shared it willingly with everybody. It's just up for you to look and listen, you know, do some research on it.
River, there's a golden plant that has a golden root, and man, that plant right there cure anything from your mouth down to your wazoo, as far as your digestive system. Pretty freaky, but you know, hey, you got somebody that's got Crohn's disease, or you got somebody that constantly has diarrhea, and it just seems to be a chronic condition. That thing will cure it, and it's right there. But you can't get it over the counter, and it's a good thing. As soon as you call something a cure, the FDA takes over and says, "Oh, no, it's got to be a prescription." So don't tell them. Don't tell them. Just keep it to yourself and to your friends who need it. You know. It's all most of everything that ails the people in a certain area has a cure that grows in that area. Pretty cool.
Well, so far we've talked about all kinds of things out there. We talked about the whole total collapsing and demoralization of society in general. We talked about wars and rumors of wars and violent weathers and earthquakes and plagues and famines and pestilence and all that kind of stuff there. We've even pointed out there are solutions out there. The biggest solution of all is you. And it's always going to be you, because there's nobody who can take care of your family better than you. You know, unless you're just totally incompetent and you don't want to try to defend and protect your family, unless you don't want to fill your mind with knowledge, then when all this stuff does come along and it collapses and people rush to you for advice or help, you're not going to know what to do. You're not going to know anything or enough about first aid in order to save your family member's life, because you're not going to be able to rush your family member to the doctor when accidents happen. You're going to have to be the doctor. And if you have no idea, and if you haven't known your neighbor enough to know that your neighbor maybe went to medical school, or maybe your neighbor has some skills or so, whatever, you know?
Or listened tonight to the round table enough where they figured a lot of it out.
Yeah. If you ain't got that knowledge in your head, you know, what you have with you now in your mind, in your pocket, whatever, in your cabinets, that's what you're going to have to work with. And this is what we're trying to say, you know, before it all falls apart, to prepare yourself mentally, physically, financially, emotionally, spiritually.
Tools,
prepare yourself.
Trades.
And if you really believe that this is a serious situation that could potentially unfold before our very eyes, then you got to use the spoken word. You got to use the power of the pen, the power of your actions. Get out there and be active in your community and talk to these representatives out there that are sending your children into wars. You know, ask the tough questions. You know, we've seen these commercials on TV all the time that they're starving people around the world. Why? Why are there still starving people around the world? It's 2016, for Pete's sake. We've got jet airplanes. We've got Harrier jets. We've got helicopters. We got planes, trains, and automobiles. We got stores and storage and all kinds of stuff. We got generators, everything we need to basically do the work. We've got backhoes and bobcats and bulldozers and graders and all this stuff. We got everything we need to go over there and irrigate the land so that they can grow their own food. We got the knowledge on how to do hydroponics, aquaponics. We have alternative energy designs out there. There's solar, there's wind, there's you name it. And it just goes on and on. We got every single solution already put on the table for this entire mess. And until these tools are in the right hands, it's just a tool. You see what I mean?
No, unfortunately, you know, what you says, most society won't wake up and won't dim it at the changes until it's too late.
Well, then, unfortunately, the burden will lie on them whenever it happens to be able to figure out why this guy next to him is going insane because he doesn't have his medication. You know?
Well, you know, society is in a matrix. Society is in a bubble. And most people, even though they know that there's something wrong in our governments now, and they hear about this, they hear about that, they don't want to step outside of that bubble because it knocks them out of their comfort zone.
Well,
but most people, like I said, aren't going to do anything until it is really in their face. And now it's starting to get in their faces. You see people starting to become very, very active, especially in the United States of America.
And that is the reason why I posed my initial question on this round table was, is any of this real? All right? In most people's eyes out there, it's not. The Earth is flat, the Earth is round, and we did go to space, we didn't go to space, Democrats versus Republicans, and so on and so forth. Everybody's evil, the boogeyman's behind the bush. Nobody can sit there and put their finger on it. Yeah, this is real, I can see it, I'm living it. You see what I mean?
Democrats and Republicrats.
Yeah.
Neocons.
They both work for the same crew, man. Just like you go to the judge. The judge works for the people. The prosecuting attorney works for the people. And guess what? You're one of the people. So it's a conflict of interest already when you step into court because you're suing yourself. And you're using the system to do it.
And they're laughing at you.
Yeah, they're laughing at you and they're taking your money.
You don't know your rights.
It's better just to go in there and say, look, Your Honor, I paid double the fine, no points on my license, and let's just call it a day and move on. Because by the time you pay one of these crooked attorneys who may or may not know enough about the law to defend you, depending on how wise he is about the terminology and the jurisdictions and what court you're in, whether it's civil or criminal, you could get just totally screwed just stepping through the front door.
Criminal.
Yeah. So... It's nuts. The whole system is just broke, man. And so is the economy. The government's borrowing money, monopoly money, and paying back interest that can never be paid.
With monopoly money.
When every single citizen on the United States of America owes at the very least $50,000, it's probably a heck of a lot more than that, $50,000 per kid, your son or your daughter's born and they already are in debt, $50,000.
$58,000 is right
now. Yeah, well, see, that's pretty steep, man.
Well, and the bankers in that little monopoly game get the hide, so that they can dig around in that monopoly bolt, that bank, all they want, do what they want. Would you let somebody that you don't trust sit there and be the banker and put it down behind the table so you can't see what they're doing, see if they're pulling money out or putting money in or whatever they're doing?
Sounds like playing Monopoly with my older brother, man, and my younger brother. My younger brother, he's easily swayed because, you know, when I go to the bathroom and I'd say, I know where everything's at. When I come back and my little brother, he's got motels on his properties and my older brother's got motels on all his properties. And my little brother's not saying anything, and my older brother's got a big old Cheshire cat grin on his face. And I'm like, wait, hey, hold on a second. First, I had some houses on my property. I ain't got no houses anymore. And second all, y'all didn't have motels when I left. And what's that $500 bill down there by your chair there for, my little brother. You see what I'm saying? My little brother's a banker, and he always wins.
About 3 years ago, I read an article showing the average teenage credit card debt, those teenagers that have credit cards, the average teenage credit card debt was $32,000 because they gave up on the hopes of getting rich. They'd just rather have it now and say, I'll suffer the consequences later. They know they ain't never going to make $1 million.
Well, so, I don't begrudge anybody from gaining some wealth in this world, you know, and I only judge people by their actions. I don't judge people by, you know, what they look like or, you know, what they believe. I judge them by their actions.
And I don't judge them by how much money they got, that's for sure.
If a person, you know, I've seen some really wealthy individuals, because in my family, I got people at the lowest bottom, lowest portion of the pyramid, all the way to the highest top of the pyramid. And I've seen a range of different differences from every single class, society-wise, in all these different financial groups, all the way down to the bottom. And I've been in families that are so dirt poor that they, you know, live in a little tiny one-room shack that's kind of divided off into two sections. And those folks right there would give their last piece of food to a total stranger just to make sure that they was comfortable, you know?
Because they know what it feels like.
Yeah. But then you got the ones up at the top, you know? Some of them have really giving hearts, but there's only so far that they're willing to take it, you know? If I was filthy, stinking rich, I'd probably be poor the next day, because I'd go out there and try to find everybody who needed something and get it for them.
I'll tell you what, man, and this might surprise you now. Now, Boomer's into money, and he's got a golden thumb, a green thumb, maybe even. But, I mean, he tracks the years, what years are going to be El Nino, which ones are not. He knows when it's not going to rain, collects all the boats that people are giving away, and then sells them when El Nino comes up and floods everything. So, I mean, real smart guy. Now, he's got money to play with, but he's in a restaurant, and he was eating, and he saw a little Mexican boy out there, and he didn't have shoes, and he was rubbing his feet. So Boomer got done eating, paid the bill, left a nice tip, and we shared the tip, and he walked out, handed the kid a $100 bill. He says, go get you some soup. He told him in Spanish, he said, go get you some shoes, son, and walked away. Didn't say another word to him.
Yeah, Raymond's a really good soul, man.
The kid was up on his feet, and, you know, said, oh, no, and he just ignored him. Had got in the truck and smiled at him. He said, get some good shoes, and drove off. Hey, the man's got a big heart. Now, he's had hard times. Now, he used to travel across the United States looking for where they had hurricanes or tornadoes or floods and stuff like that. He'd go, that's why they call him Boomer, because he'd go to the boom town, and he'd travel around and make his money and basically start a company there or hire other people there and put them. He saw a family. One guy said he needed work, and he says, well, here, start with this room. I'll see how good you are. The guy did well, and he said, I have to go and come back. He left, and he brought the whole family. Boomer paid them for the amount of work that they got done, and they were very happy. And one guy complained, he did this wrong, blah, 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 and Boomer says, you know what, he's done more work than you. I'll pay him more. I'll pay him according to the work he's done. That's what I'll do. And basically, the guy stayed with him for quite a while. And because of that, he got a man that cared about his work, cared how much he got done. He wasn't watching the clock. People watch the clock because they know they get so much per hour. Boomer pay you for what you did. And, you know, I take that big. I respect him for that. And, you know, I know how he is. I mean, everybody wanted X-13 motors. He paid for the shipping for them because they were free to send them out to people. That's what kind of man Boomer is. I like people like that. The world needs more of them.
Well, and even if you're not financially able to do something to help individuals out, it could be something as simple, you know, you go out there and grow you some food in the garden, and you go around and you find people that need it. You know, there There are food pantries all over the United States. The United States is looked at as probably one of the wealthiest nations, and people don't understand that even here in the United States, there's people suffering here. There are.
Did you know the man retired last year? He decided to go for retirement. He's over 65 by far, but he decided to go for retirement last year, and the reason why, it means he can quote some of them jobs lower and get more work for his people. His idea of success is how many people, how many families that are supporting themselves because of him. That's his idea of success.
Well, that's a good way to look.
And he makes a lot less than them, and he's the one that has to deal with thousands and thousands of dollars worth of inventory, buying it at the right time, and every year, just before they raise the drywall and before they raise the price of the studs, metal studs and stuff, he buys a truckload. And then within a week or so, it's basically the price goes up, and while everybody's having to buy it this and quote it higher, he's making lower quotes and making the same good money. Yeah. And that's all for his people.
A lot
he
of
cares
people.
About people. That's the kind of heart people really need to have.
A lot of people could learn from his example, you know. And there's, like I said, getting involved with your community, that is a solution right there, right out of the gate.
Nothing but knowing and planning ahead is what he calls it.
Yeah.
He knows what's going to happen. He's seen it before. It's repetitive. So he times when he buys this and when he sells that.
You know,
it's great.
Earlier I banned a troll here on Shaziz Radio. Guy just wanted to get in there and call everybody racist and question everything that being said. You know, I ain't got no problem with people questioning, you know, something I said. That's the difference is that if you're going to constructively criticize is one thing, but to destructively try to criticize and disrupt, that's not something we allow over at ShazizRadio.com. If you want to get out there and you want to talk about your views, even your views might be wild, and we're not necessarily going to agree with you, you know. We'll tell you where we disagree, but we're not going to sit there and put you down and degrade you because our views are different than yours. You see what I mean? That's the whole difference. If you go out there and look out there on YouTube, you'll see it. On Facebook, you'll see it. All these social medias out there where people converge to talk to one in each other. Most folks don't get up out of the house anymore and go over and drive over and sit down at the coffee table with the people that they're talking to because it's easier. I just talk to you on Facebook. Heck, we got photo. I could send you a picture of what I'm doing or what I'm eating or whatever like that, and I don't have to get over there and interact with you. Folks, this matrix that we call the internet, it's absorbing you. It's absorbing your families. Go to any restaurant, go to in your own houses and look and watch it. Everybody's looking down at a device. Nobody's up there sitting there talking to each other, you know? You're getting sucked in. And there's people out there that just, they find their amusement, their joy or their jollies or whatever, they find their amusement going out there saying just some of the most filthy, hateful things to each other.
That's entertaining their spirit. Number one thing that torques my jaw is stupidity. And, I mean, stupidity comes in many forms. And it's usually the stupidity starts with me first. Me first. I can't stand me first idiots. Sometimes I wake up and I go out, and the first idiot I see, I sit there and I try to ignore him until it's time to jerk a knot in him. You know, usually it's a one-liner. You know? I mean, gosh, I'm not going to get into all that.
Buddy, you and I and everybody on this panel at some time has been accused of, talking about all kinds of stuff and not putting any solutions on the table. But if you go back and listen to all these podcasts, whether it be the Mad Science Show or the Knights of the Round Table, we put all kinds of ideas on the table. We showed all kinds of different links and videos to all kinds of information from everything from alternative medicine to alternative to the law, alternatives to energy, and then some. We put links and our opinions and views and ideas on the table. It was up to anybody out there. If you go to a buffet and you don't get nothing to eat at that table, if you don't learn anything from the Knights of the Round Table, you don't take anything off the table for yourself, then you can't complain when you walk away from a buffet of information and food and knowledge and friendship and love. We put it out there. We put ourselves out there. We've sat there. We've been trolled. We've been hacked. We've been hassled. And we're still here. That's consistency.
Yeah. One of the things of stupidity is where you keyed me up to the deal there. Criticism takes brains. I'm sorry, takes no brains. Constructive criticism takes brain. Anybody can just sit there and pick something apart, or when you start to talk a little, and just interrupt them and root them. Or just, you know, find something, you know, like, who cut your hair, man? But, you know, taking somebody down really doesn't take much brains. It just takes an attitude and a little bit of hate. Constructive criticism takes looking into the project, finding out what it needs, and maybe a suggestion and trying to help. That's the difference. You can't tell a kid, man, why'd you tear that apart? You know you can't do nothing, but it was broken already, Mama. Oh, and, you know, you're just a dumb kid and piece of, you know, blah, 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 blah. You destroy the person inside. Take it down. That is stupidity.
Yeah, and truth is subject to the teller, man.
Brains is... I wish you'd let me know before that, because there's dangers I'd like to let you know about. I don't want you playing with something like that, because I care about you. You're a good kid. You got a good brain. Let me get you some things to work on. Maybe you can get something out of it, you know? Now, that's a constructive criticism. Maybe I can buy you some tools. Do you need a soldering iron? What do you need?
Yep.
You know? Now, that works.
Yeah, that's
that
a good...
That works great.
That's a good way to look at it, and that's what we should be asking the people out there. What do you need out there? You know,
it's cheaper than a college. It's cheaper than a college education, and the kid learns early. He'll probably go find his way for an education. You know, because he wants to know. Nurture that urge to know. Ask questions. Find out what's inside. I took apart my dad's Philco radio, man. I started pulling tubes, and the thing was still working. I pulled 8 tubes out of that Philco radio, and I was still listening to broadcasts. And I'd marked each one carefully and put it back. And then I found out some of those tubes were just oscillators for different bands. So I learned. I learned a lot about tubes. Later on, I learned how tubes work. And you know what? It was easy to work on tubes. So that was real easy. I didn't need to go to college to learn how to build a transmitter and get in trouble by the FCC. So,
well, the key to all that stuff is through your journey. You've learned a lot of stuff. You used to drive a taxi cab, and you learned, and you met a lot of people, and you did a lot of good things for everybody. And there's a lot of people here sitting at the table. I believe every single person sitting at the table here has done something decent for somebody. Used the knowledge that they've acquired in their life. Help somebody out. And that is the solution, folks. That's it. It's as simple as that. So you got some sort of talent out there. Some of you can sew and others can't. Some of you can cook and others can't. Some of you can build houses and work on electrical or machinery, and some of you can't. It's get together with your communities and find those people out there with those talents and skills and bring them together as a team to resolve issues in your community that won't otherwise get done. You know, my grandfather used to say all the time, if you want something done, you got to get up and do it yourself, especially if you want it done right.
Amen.
And so that's what's going to take. That is the solution. And it may not be the solution you want to hear, because it means that you actually have to get up and do some work. But
do you buy a kid that has no idea what the value of money is? Do you buy him his first car, or do you offer to pay half of a used vehicle and teach him how to work on it? It makes a difference. Do you teach your kid to sit in the house and play just video games and go around and do nothing, never learn the value of money, or do you give them jobs and pay them for them, something that you'd pay somebody else? Why not, you know? Put the kid to work, let him learn the value of money, and he'll be doing it the rest of his life because he wants more.
Yep. And there ain't nothing wrong with saving up and getting things that you like and stuff like that, you know? But if you focused your entire life is that I got to build this stairway to heaven, and you're going to find out that stairway to heaven is going to collapse underneath you. It never works, you know. Money's never going to buy what's really important. Money's not going to buy your friendship. You'll get a lot of friends. But when you finally do go broke and your golden pyramid or your golden steps fall out from underneath you, how many of your friends are going to be there to give you a hand up? How many of them is going to come there and say, look, hey, I don't care if you got any money. You've been good to me, and I'm a reciprocate by helping you up right now, you know? You see what I mean? There's the difference, man.
Yep.
And
if my dad didn't take me out on the road and teach me how, you know, and just say, okay, he says, I don't care how much weight you got. What I care is how many trips you're saving the other lumbers. And just grab some stuff and come out. Keep moving all day. Don't stop. My dad paid me as much as the rest of them. And I learned, and I got strong by that. Later on, you know, when I got to be a teenager, your dad say, go get the hiding bed. Go get the washer. Go get the dryer. Go, you know. You want help with that piano? Yeah, Dad. Left hand or right hand? Which one do you want me to hand it to you in, you know? But later on, man, I mean, that moved into loading engine blocks for scrap for a living, and it made me good money, about $300 a day. And the thing is, I'm healthy. I'm strong. You know, I'm still 54 years old, you know what? And I'll still outwork some people. So, I mean, it's great. It keeps you looking young, healthy, and all that stuff. What? I mean, you want to spend it all in the hospital because your kid never grew a muscle?
Well, buddy, I'm only 50 years old, and I feel like I went down the side of a mountain in a grocery cart because when I was younger, I kind of thought I was Superman. When I got older, I figured out that I was wrong.
Yeah, all them pains creep up on you, and each one of the pains has a memory.
Yeah. But, you know, the point is I'm trying to make by this entire show today was that, you know, the world out there, according to all the information that we're fed, is chaotic. It's a mess. It needs fixing, you know, and the only people out there that can fix it, if it's as bad as what everybody says it is we the people, you know. We can't rely on representation. Maybe those folks up there in the Congress and the Senate are doing the best job that they can with a bad situation. Maybe they're on the right side of the fence, and maybe they're just having all kinds of trouble and nobody's backing them up to do it. You know, you won't know until you get up there and get involved, until you pay attention to what's being said and what's being done. You know, Nancy Pelosi said the most dangerous words in the history of time. She said, we got to pass this bill to find out what's in it. You realize how dangerous that is? How irresponsible? You're going to put your name on a law that you haven't even read, you don't know inside and out? That's just, to me, that is ludicrous.
When it changes over, we'll hear them famous words of, you're fired, and I'll be dancing a jig, and I think the stupid law will disappear. Pretty sure. I'm hoping.
Well, I'm hoping something positive comes out of all this stuff. I'm hoping that some of the adversity that people had to suffer through got them motivated enough to at least, before they pull the lever the next go, understand and know who the individuals they're putting up there as their representatives are. And if the legal system is really that doggone corrupt where your vote doesn't even count, then you need to figure out a way, starting from your local communities, to ensure that your vote does count, even if you have to be standing there right next beside them and watching them count the doggone votes.
Yeah.
It has to be done.
I'd rather have the laws of 1776 on my side. They're trying everything they can to knock that completely out. And basically, anything written against the Constitution, any law written against the Constitution is basically classified as treason. And it was meant to be that way. But they're going to they're doing everything they can to dismantle our Constitution behind our backs. Go ahead and get our attention over here on something that was basically orchestrated in a play.
Speaking of the Constitution, buddy, don't you find it ironic that whenever a police officer is sworn into office, that he has sworn to uphold the Constitution. And the same thing applies with all the senators and congressmen and judges and attorneys and all them out there who swore an oath to uphold the Constitution. But the moment you as a citizen, American citizen of the United States or whatever, decide that you want to invoke those rights from there and you start quoting the Constitution, suddenly you're out of line. All right, when you go to court and you
get beaten down, taken down,
you go to court.
In the court of law, you can take them down. Because,
and you start quoting the Constitution to them, they find offense with that. They don't want to know that you, oh, it doesn't matter about the Constitution. We're doing this over here, you know. And when when the people represent the people versus the people, and you're one of the people, there is a conflict of interest right there. And then you open your mouth and quote your rights to the Constitution, or you decide you don't want to enter into a contract. The doggone speeding ticket, for example, in my point of view, it's a contract, because you're basically signing a promissory note saying that you will show up in court to address this. All right. But everything that you say to the police officer is evidence, where everything that the police officer says to you is considered in court hearsay. And then when you finally get to court, let's back up for a second. Before you sign that traffic citation, if you decide you're not going to sign that traffic citation, you know, you don't want to sign this contract because something may go wrong and you might not be able to fulfill the contract, which would make you in breach of contract. So you say, well, what is your policy for me not signing this? And they'll say, well, I have to take you to jail and make you post bond. So now you have to sign that thing under threat of arrest. You have to sign it under threat of penalty or whatever, financial problems. And then when you finally get to court, you know, and you start talking about your constitutional rights and trying to find out what jurisdiction you're under, whether it's civil or criminal, or whether you're in a military court or a doggone UCC court or whatever, you will come up against the wrath. You know, if you decide you don't want to plea on this thing, the judge will sit there and plead for you. So the judge is acting as an attorney from the bench, when the judge is only supposed to be there to actually interpret, you know, all this stuff, you know?
They will not remind you of your rights. That's your job to know them. As soon as he sits there, okay, as soon as you don't want to plead, I'll go ahead and plead guilty for you or nulla conteste. Basically, you say, well, I'm sorry, you're not a tribunal. That's not your right.
Well,
you have to know this stuff. So a little bit of education, you got to read into it. You got to have that, or they'll just say, "Yeah, you're guilty," and you're at their mercy because you were stupid.
That's the whole thing. If you don't,
or ignorant.
If you don't know the right words to say, and you get in the wrong court, and you don't even understand which jurisdiction you're under, you don't even understand whether or not you have rights or not rights, or whether some rights don't apply in whatever circumstance or whatever court is, the system is so out of balance with the individual and the freedoms that were provided under the United States Constitution. All the people out there, You already lost before you ever even walked through the door, man. And it don't matter whether you go out and get an attorney, because if they got a better attorney, if your attorney says one stupid word that pretty much, you know, it lynches you, man.
One of the most ignorant things people can do is make it sound like an argument, just complain, that's not my right, you know. No. You're supposed to be as polite as you're supposed to be in court, just like, you know, you have to be polite. You have to, you know, just like, you know, when you're done with the officer, you say, "May I leave now? I'm sorry, I don't require your service. Am I free to go?" I mean, you can't say, "Look, I'm leaving because I get," you know, no, that's resisting arrest, and you're going to get yourself in big trouble.
Well,
be pleasant, and you can go through it. It's all about brains, information exchange. Not attitude. Attitude will get you in trouble.
The whole key is knowledge, man. If you don't know how to fix your car stays broken unless you get a professional to fix it. If you don't know anything about the law, you go out and hire somebody who does know something about the law and you hope they ain't on the take. So, your back's up against the wall, man. Society's out there going crazy and individuals in their own little bubble running amok, just treating each other like complete trash. And how are we, the people, supposed to weed through all this mess? First off, man, if there was a get-out-of-the-matrix free card, such as ripping your plug out of your wall and never talking or communicating with anybody through this this internet that we use on a daily basis, that, to me, would be the most simple deal, just up and walk away. But if what I was showed in the media, the social media, the regular media, that the world is really this bad out there, and I just walk away, doesn't that not now make me complicit that I didn't even do nothing to even try to stop it? And my grandchildren are going to have to come up in this world, and I didn't even say nothing? So maybe I'm just behind the mic, and I'm just a guy shouting out of behind the mic, trying to preach common sense and decency to the world. If I never open my mouth, and I don't say anything, is that implied consent that I say that the whole world is okay and, hey, it doesn't affect me, it's not in my backyard, so I can just walk away and live happily ever after? In my mind, it'd be easier to do that, but...
You still got rights right now. You might not have them later, or they won't act like it. While you're quoting your rights, they'll be taking you down and stuff. My buddy Trampas got stopped, and they had him mistaken for somebody else. They wanted him to search his vehicle and said, "Do you mind if I search your vehicle?" He said, "I don't want you to search my vehicle. I don't consent to that." They searched anyway. And when they got done ripping up the interior and moving everything around, he was sitting there drawing on a piece of paper, and he says, "All right, you owe me this much for recovering my seats, and everything must be put back exactly in the place it was before." By the time they were done, the officer, is this in the right spot? He asked on everything he put back in the vehicle. So yeah, they and he sued, and he got his new interior in his truck and all that. So yeah, there's things you can do. I don't know how long that will last, how much longer they're going to honor the Constitution and your rights. But when the officers start coming with masks on, they beat your door down instead of knocking on it in the middle of the night. I haven't seen it. I hadn't been here, so it's really not, it's not as common to where everybody sees it and knows it. But, you know, it's out there. You hear about it every day.
Well, I was told that the U.S. Constitution was the supreme law of the land that trumps all the other laws, and whatever was unconstitutional is no longer a law.
And there are no such thing as laws other than what is in the heart of the people.
And so, you know, there you go, man. That's a whole lot of stuff to contemplate on. There's a whole lot of things going on in the world, and you're going to have to weed through to find out what's fact or fiction. The best thing that I can, advice that I can give everybody, is if you don't want to know, don't go down a rabbit hole, because people are going to bombard you with all kinds of information. And if you tell the people what you stand for, what you believe in, then you're going to find yourself under attack because, well, you're stupid because you think the world is flat, or you're stupid because you think the world is round. You're a racist because you don't like this black guy that's the president, or you're just a hateful person or whatever. It's ridiculous, man. It's so incredibly ridiculous. We can't get nothing accomplished in this world. If the world is as bad as what I've been told out here from all these different media sources and all the flood of information out there, I already know that they're cataloging everything that I look at. I already know that they're spying on me. You know,
not just you, everybody.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying from my own point of view, because I can't speak for nobody else but me. I already know all this stuff. It would have been better if I would have never looked down the rabbit hole, and if I would have never talked to strangers out there and told them that I was a Christian, or that I believed in conservative views as far as, politics-wise, And if there's a black man in office and he's doing a terrible job and I speak out against him, does that make me a racist just because he's black? The tools that they use to keep everybody divided continuously, trying to make you have to justify yourself to everybody else out there. You know something? A person out there doesn't have to be a pedophile or a racist. All they have to have is somebody accuse them of it, and you're guilty until proven innocent, and your reputation is thrashed beyond all repair. No matter how hard you try to clean that up, you're this terrible person because somebody's like, well, yeah, I heard he was a racist, you know? I'm not a racist. I don't hate anybody. And I don't judge people for what they look like or what they dress or how much money they got in their pocket. All I can do is give my opinion on the way that they're acting. And if they're acting like a total jerk, you know, if it looks like a rabbit and smells like a rabbit, then chances are it's a rabbit. You see what I mean?
And you won't hear the words quack.
Yeah. All I can do is give advice. But, you know, the day I shut my mouth, I just say, you know, hey, I'm just not going to talk anymore. I actually literally got up this morning and I actually contemplated on shutting my YouTube down and my radio station. I do this a lot, buddy. I do it a lot because I actually think about, is it worth it? You know, the quest that I'm on to try to bring about some sort of peace and love and truth and benefit to the world with whatever I got to work with my mad science or my Knights of the Round Table, I sit there and consider all the time, am I wasting my life away? Is this all going in vain that I'm sitting here and I'm spending all this time, money, and energy and focus on trying to make the world a better place? And the only thing that I've really got to work with is a microphone and a camera and some ideas and some old junk electrical stuff that I can put together and show people how it works. You know, am I going to make a dent in this world? There ain't no way in under God's green earth that I can do that by myself. It's just impossible. But if I can sit there and I can throw a positive pebble in the pond that'll ripple out and affect somebody else who will start themselves up a YouTube channel and put their talents and skills out there to help people out and their information, you know. If we can bring the brilliant minds to the table for an honest, respectful debate, and we can actually get some sort of solutions actually enacted out there and get this. That's what the whole purpose is, right? The seeking the truth thing? But the moment truth becomes subject to the teller and my ego gets bigger than you, I'm this famous guy on the radio, ha-ha, you know, I'm better than you, then it's no longer worth it. That's the time to walk away. That's the time to flip the off switch and unplug it from the wall and just walk away, man. You see what I mean?
It's not trying to prove yourself. It's trying to share what you know.
Yeah, that's it. Because I've been told the world's bad. I've been told that people out there are bad. I've been told that people are suffering.
Gifts, one of the greatest gifts is knowledge, and it's free. Gee, you could be pretty rich. That's pretty much what this show is about. Sharing the knowledge. Something that's worth more than, you know, worth more than money. They say if you really want to make money, you must sell information. I'd rather give it away.
Well,
it goes a lot farther, and it goes to more people.
If I wanted to be famous, I failed. If I wanted to be rich, I failed. If I wanted to buy me a mansion with the pennies that YouTube throws in the bucket for some videos that I put out there, then I failed. Because it never has been about money. Look all over this site and see if you find a donation button. Look on my YouTube channel and see if there's a support me button. See if there's anything that asks any of you out there for any money. And just try to find it. Seriously. You know, I don't want to sell you information that you could go out and research yourself. I don't want to sell you ideas that you could benefit from. I just want everybody to do the same thing. To go out there and put their ideas on the table. Put your piece of the puzzle with my piece of the puzzle, with Muddy's piece of the puzzle, with Thomas's piece of the puzzle, and let's build something. Let's make the world a better place. It's 2016. We should be so much further along than what we are. There shouldn't be all these wars. There shouldn't be all the famine and the sickness and all that kind of stuff. We've got research out there for everything. Everything from cancer to mechanics to alternative energy, alternative news, alternative media, alternative law, everything. There are choices out there. There are solutions on the table. And so it drives me insane every time somebody sits there and says, oh, well, you always talk about all this, but you never put anything we can use on the table. I don't think they were listening, buddy. Honestly, don't. Because we said it. We talked about everything, man. Piezoelectrics, hydroelectrics, thermoelectrics, wind power, solar power. We talked about hydrogen technologies. We talked about graphene technologies. We talked about supercapacitors. We told them how they can get in contact with the people that are working on this stuff, how they can get involved. We told them about the platform that we provided for them here at ShazizRadio.com. Get out here, put it on the table. Let our brilliant minds be complimentary to your brilliant minds, and let's put the solutions out there. Let's get it done. That's what we're about. Am I wrong, buddy?
No, you're right. You're right.
That's all we're trying to do, folks. It looks like we're down to it again.
Uh-huh.
Boy, I tell you what, time flies when you're having fun, when you're getting trolled. And
yeah, the show always does that.
Yep.
I guess Thomas hadn't spoken in about 5-10 minutes.
Thomas,
let him go, Brad.
Outgoing thoughts?
Not for today. Everything that anybody wants to hear, they can go through podcasts and find what I've had to say, and I've said it over and over and over again. They'll find it in the only one that I'm on there. You guys could take a tear into it and say what you got to say.
Well, Thomas, I agree with what you've been saying forever today. You keep telling people you got to network, you got to get out there, you got to do things, you got to make things, you got to prove what you say, all that stuff. I agree with you, brother. And I always thank you. It's always an honor to have you on the show. And you know, it just wouldn't be the same without you. Just like Steve and all the other great people that's been on these shows, Barry. You know, we all like-minded individuals that know that there's solutions out there to fix things. But until we get the people together to do it, you know?
Right. You don't have to prove anything to anybody but yourself unless the other person's got a gun. And if they've got a gun out, then there ain't nothing you can prove to them at that point. Always look for the gun. If there's a gun involved, then, you know, they're not your friend.
Yep.
Right.
If there's a gun involved, it's left the realm of participation, and it's become slavery, you know.
Yep, ceases to be freedom when you have no choice.
And if they have to change the laws with a gun, then they're non-constitutional.
And if you go into a court that's sworn to uphold the Constitution and they won't even let you talk about the Constitution, then we got a problem, people. When you talk to the police officer who swore an oath to uphold the Constitution, and you talk to him about the Constitution, and he don't want to hear nothing of it, we got a problem.
That's what I keep saying, stop asking for permission. That's the fastest way to get into trouble, man.
Yep. It's easy enough.
Because even if there isn't a law against it, if they don't think what you're doing is going to help their agenda, then they're going to do something to make it illegal. Or they'll find something else to rope you in on. So, if you don't ask for permission, they don't know what you're doing. They don't know that you're getting ahead and taking care of yourself, you know. So they can't basically tear you down.
Well, on one hand, the system claims they want you to be self-reliant. And on the other hand, they also want to say they want you to reduce your carbon footprint. But when their actions speak louder than words, and they're trying to do everything to hinder your progress of doing exactly what they asked for. When we got companies out there that have all the tools and technology to literally create the cars that everybody keeps talking about, we could do, you know, running cars off of water or whatever, you know, electric cars. All the technology's there. It's been there all along, and there ain't no way it's ever going to actually make it to the market until somebody actually gets behind them and backs them up, you know. If they know you're going to buy it, then they'll build it.
That's not going to happen. You just need to build it for yourself. get together with groups of people and share your skill sets to make each one of you whatever it is that you're needing.
Yep, that's the way.
One and a half minutes.
Well, that puts us down to we got to go.
I'm always happy to see Thomas pop in here. I know it's going to be a better show. Not like you said, not everybody knows everything. It's when you get together, all the vast knowledge put together that makes it. And I appreciate you, Thomas.
Well, if you got a 500-piece puzzle, and you take one of those pieces out, and you just throw it in the trash, then you'll never complete that puzzle. Every single individual out there has a talent. Every single individual out there has a gift. Everybody out there has some sort of life skills and knowledge and experiences that if they shared with one another, you could learn from one another. You could know what roads not to go down because it's not safe. And you could learn from their mistakes in the past. You could learn from their research. And if that knowledge was shared freely throughout the entire globe, and we the people actually took responsibility for our own actions and for our own lifestyles and our own caretaking, and we were good caretakers of one another. You are your brother's keeper. You can help feed your neighbors. You can help feed your community. You can help protect your community. But if you're not that piece of the puzzle, and you're not putting yourself out there on the table with everybody else, and those pieces of the puzzle never come together, then the picture never is complete. So that's what we're trying to point out here. We need each and every one of you, and when you need your neighbors, you need your friends, and you need total strangers. And all the jerks out there that do the things that they do, all they're doing is making it, they're stretching the whole ripping of the Band-Aid instead of allowing you, they're ripping it off slowly, man.
And making wait for money to go,
yeah.
Class out. Lead man on YouTube.
Absolutely. Yep. All right, well. Everybody, you've been listening to the Knights of the Round Table. Don't rip the Band-Aid off slowly. Just get it over with. Let's get up. Let's fix it. Let's get things done. You know what's wrong in your neighborhood. Fix it. Peace and love. Stay tuned.
Ma'am, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you ma'am.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur.
That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds, distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh?
That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
Red lights at the round table, we dance whenever we're able. We do routines, we call the scenes, we put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam art. Red lights at the round table, our shows are more mid-table. So many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsingable. We're off the mad in Camelot, we sing from the diaphragm.
I have to push the pram a lot.
No, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Survive the turbo! Always looking to survive the turbo! And